Going on, everybody. This is the Solid Monster, and this is your SummerSlam 2020 review here for Sunday, August 23rd, 2020. You'll never see it coming. That was the tagline headed into the pay-per-view tonight. You're wondering, what's the big angle coming out of this show? They got to do something big, right? You can't have a tagline like that unless you got something up your sleeve. And when I saw the finish to that main event, I thought to myself, that's it? Really? That's the big finish? That's the reason why this match had to go on last? And then out comes the big dog, Roman Reigns. We've not seen Roman Reigns since March. He bowed out of WrestleMania. And finally, Roman Reigns is back. And not a moment too soon, because they need depth at the top of that SmackDown roster. They need depth at the top of the Monday Night Raw roster. WWE made some big moves tonight. Roman Reigns is back, and Keith Lee is coming to Monday Night Raw. I approve of both of these moves. These are two moves that were needed to really boost up the rosters. I like that. And as for the show itself, I thought it was a very good show. And the Thunderdome, for all the jokes and all the comments about the Thunderdome and everything that people were saying about it, this was only the second Thunderdome show. It definitely changed the atmosphere of the show to the point where I would say this was the best pay-per-view that they have put on probably since the beginning of all of this pandemic shit in the first place. I thought that now there's some kinks to be worked out. It's not a perfect system, but I was impressed. I was impressed by how much it changed the feel of the show. It just gives the show a bigger feel. And we'll get into all the different matches and some of the stuff I didn't like as well. But I can't hate on this show. This was a very good show overall. And also, a little bit later on, I know we got people who are here because we are doing the Wrestle Rumble contest. We are doing WrestleRumble.com, the Draped in Gold contest. One of you guys is going to win 5 championship belts a little bit later on here in this stream. I'm not going to tell you when, because you're going to have to stick around and find out. But I'm going to be pulling one name. There were 4,000 names, 4,000 plus entries into the contest this month. And one of you is going to walk away with all of those belts you see on your screen and a mystery belt that I'm going to be revealing a little bit later on. I'm very excited. I want to thank Wrestle Rumble again for giving me the opportunity to be the master of ceremonies, as I have been doing the last few months. Always a good time. So again, thank you for choosing me for your SummerSlam coverage. The Thunderdome, let me talk about the Thunderdome first. Much better atmosphere. Much better atmosphere than the Performance Center. I don't see how that could even be denied, even if you're not really a big fan of all the screens and the lights and the LED shit and the lasers. I mean, you get to a point in the Performance Center where you can only do so much. How many times can you look up at the ceiling fixtures? And how many times can you just play to the same people behind the plexiglass? I'm glad to be gone with the plexiglass. So this was their first chance to really break out of the PC, and I thought that it just made for a much better show. The reaction times from the people in the boxes also was improved from Friday night. Friday night, it looked like there was a lag or a delay maybe of, I don't know, 5 to 10 seconds, 15 seconds. That looked to be a little bit better tonight. They're still having issues, though. You see the same person in multiple boxes. There's this one guy. It's always this one guy. And he was in multiple boxes, unless he's got brothers who look just like him. So that's still a problem. I did spot the Fire Velveteen Dream sign. I don't think that person will be on future Thunderdome shows for WWE. I assume they've been ejected from the virtual WWE universe. Renee Young was on the kickoff show. This was Renee Young's final night in WWE. She confirmed it herself. This was her last appearance, her last hurrah here with the company. She will be missed. I talked a lot about Renee Young on episode 666 earlier today. 666. Yeah, if you missed it, 2.5 hours worth of audio. It's up on iTunes and Spotify and all the usual places. So it looks like Charlie Caruso is going to be taking her place going forward in these pre-show panels and situations like this. They moved the United States Championship match off of the main card. They drew the short straw tonight. Poor MVP and Apollo Crews, they got bumped. They got bumped to the kickoff show like a bunch of bums. And they said MVP was looking for his third United States championship, and so they got right into it. The Hurt Business now have their own theme song. I actually liked MVP's theme music. I don't necessarily like MVP wrestling matches, and I'll tell you why in a second. It should have been evident from this match here. So I'm actually kind of bummed they got rid of the music, and now they're all coming out to this new theme song. They got their own shirts, so it's an official thing now. The Hurt Business, when you get your own merch, you know that you're going to be sticking around for a while. So the Hurt Business is here to stay, and Apollo hit a pair of Stinger Splashes, standing moonsault on MVP for a two count. Cruz countered the Playmaker. MVP was going for the Playmaker finish. He countered that into a spinning powerbomb for the win. It looked like MVP, I'm not saying he was, but it looked like dead weight going up for this move. Apollo is a strong guy. It's a good thing he is, because he just barely was able to get MVP up, slammed him down. And Lashley and Benjamin, after he got the win, Lashley and Benjamin come out, they attack Apollo. Apollo escapes. Very basic stuff. I mean, this was a very basic match. MVP is showing his age in the ring. He was moving around very slow in the ring. And if you're going to put him in the ring with these younger guys and you're not able to keep up, again, you got to accentuate people's strengths. MVP is an asset to being on TV. He can talk. He's a great character. He can do the VIP lounge. There's a lot of things that you can do with MVP on TV. Putting him in the ring in a pay-per-view match for a championship is not one of them. This should have been the match that went to Bobby Lashley. I'm hoping we got another pay-per-view coming up in a week. We got Payback next Sunday. I'm going to be back here with you live next Sunday. Now, we don't know any of the matches aside from the fact that the women's tag team titles are going to be defended. Still don't know why there's a pay-per-view next Sunday, unless they're just trying to fuck with AEW because they have a pay-per-view the following weekend. They're just trying to saturate the market. I don't know. But this should have been the match with Lashley. I think it will eventually, maybe next Sunday, we're going to see Lashley probably take the United States Championship. But this is a very basic stuff. Very basic paint-by-number stuff here in this U.S. title match. I want to welcome everybody who is joining, all 15, now 1,600 plus, who are joining us here, including Prince Walker, who had a bow out before we went live. And Brian Becerra joining us tonight with the $12. A few questionable finishes to some of these matches, but all in all, a good show. And, well, the Twitter results are going to be interesting later when I put them up on screen. Go vote right now, by the way, at Solomonster on Twitter. And Lord Frieza, he messed up. He said he decided to take shots of Crown every time they said, "You'll never see it coming," and now, unfortunately, he is a drunk emperor. Well, I can think of worse things to be. So we had the first time since, what was the pay-per-view in February? Was that Elimination Chamber, or the beginning of March? I think that was Elimination Chamber. For the first time in a long time, we got a proper pay-per-view open. They got to do their pyro. You know how long they've been holding that in for? I can make a sexual reference here, but I won't do it. But they've been holding that in for months. And then the pay-per-view went off on the air tonight. And then, boom, it was like Mount Vesuvius. And out came all of the pyro. And, you know, they're scanning the virtual crowd. Again, it looked better tonight. I love the shot of it. You can see the stadium-style seating. It doesn't just look like one giant wall. So it did look better. The presentation, I think, definitely was better tonight. We open with the first of two women's championship matches on this show. Asuka challenging Bayley for the SmackDown Women's Championship. This was day number 317 for Bayley with the SmackDown Women's title. Asuka dominated the match early, jumped off the ring steps outside, caught Bayley with a DDT on the floor. Bayley off the top rope later on for an elbow. Asuka catches her in an armbar. I like that. Asuka releases the hold and kicks Sasha in the face. This was kind of dumb because she had her in the armbar. Now, Sasha Banks was at ringside. She was right there. She was yelling at Asuka, but she wasn't doing anything. She didn't actually reach in. She didn't touch Asuka, unless I missed it, but she didn't really do anything. And Asuka released the hold just so she can reach under the bottom rope and kick Sasha, but she really didn't have to let go of the hold. That was dumb. That was a dumb babyface move. So Bayley's in the ropes. And Asuka goes for the hip attack, the running hip check. So she hits the rope. She comes up. Bayley dodges it. Bayley gets out of the way. And Sasha Banks takes the bullet for her best friend. That allows Bayley to win with a cradle. An inside cradle by Bayley, which is a form of a roll-up. I went on a whole rant about roll-ups on the podcast earlier. I am sick to death of roll-ups. So they put a little bit of a spin. This was a different kind of roll-up here in this match. They love their roll-ups in this company. They love their roll-ups. There's a reason why many years ago, it was like a fruit roll-up counter. I had to keep a counter going throughout the entire year just to keep track of how many of these they did, because it was every other match. It's a crutch. They rely on it. It's like the only, it's their go-to finish. We don't know what to do. We'll have a roll-up. We don't want to beat somebody cleanly. We'll have a roll-up. So she inside cradled her for the win. I'd go 6 out of 10. I decided to give match ratings. I do this from time to time. I would go 6 out of 10 on this match. I thought it was good. It wasn't really anything special. Sasha attacks Asuka immediately after the match is over. She's trying to tire her out, wear her down, because she's got a championship defense later on in the night against Asuka. So she's raining blows down upon her. The finish made sense given where this was going. At this point, I mean, I tried to get creative with my predictions, and obviously what I predicted was way off. That's not what happened tonight. But they went the predictable route, which is fine. And, you know, given where they were going later in the show, the finish made sense. You know, with Sasha taking a bullet for Bayley. So, storyline-wise, you could see it coming from a mile away, but it made sense. So, Dominic was in the bag. Dominic Mysterio, this was his big debut, right? His big debut in the ring tonight. He was in the back with his father, and he was telling Rey, you know, I want you to promise me you're not going to get involved. Even though Rey was going to be at ringside for the match, promise me you're not going to get involved in this match tonight. He made his father promise, and Rey said, I promise I will not get involved in your match, which, of course, he lied. That was a lie. Hate it when fathers lie to their children. Keith Lee, I did mention Keith Lee a little bit earlier on. Keith Lee is coming to the main roster. And so what I'd like to do at this moment, if you would indulge me, let us all pray. Let's form a virtual praying circle for Keith Lee as he journeys now to Monday Night Raw. He leaves the confines of NXT. He leaves the safety of the womb from which he came. And he makes his maiden voyage to the main roster. A moment of silence for Keith Lee, as we all hope for the best. Street Profits against Andrade and Angel Garza for the Raw Tag Team titles. Kevin Owens came out with a sleeveless Street Profits shirt and a necktie, for whatever reason. He joined commentary for the match. I guess he wanted to class it up a little bit, right? You're going to come out for commentary. Everyone's wearing a suit. Everyone's wearing a tie. Even I got a little dressed up tonight. I figured the t-shirt thing is kind of played out. I'm boiling in here, but you got to dress up for the occasion. This is the second biggest pay-per-view of the year. Or third. I think the Royal Rumble is number two. That's my personal preference. So, Angel Garza. Oh, by the way, when the Street Profits came out, they dropped red solo cups. They're getting cute now because they're back in the bigger building. So they dropped red solo cups from the ceiling. Angel Garza was working over Montez Ford, and he rips, you know, he does the gimmick where he rips off his pants. So he rips off the pants, and Tom Phillips goes, there go the pants. And Byron Saxton, his response is, thank goodness. And you can hear Kevin Owens, there's like a pause, and Kevin Owens goes, what? And then there was an awkward silence, and they moved on. I'm not here to judge. So they had Montez Ford upside down in the Tree of Woe in enemy territory in the corner. Andrade hit the double stomp off the top. Angelo Dawkins, hot tag. He's running wild. Andrade caught him with a back elbow that looked like it knocked him into the middle of next week. He looked like he was legit stunned from this back elbow. Eventually, he made the tag. And Garza tried to pin Montez with his feet on the ropes. Referee caught him. So Zelina Vega's arguing with the referee. Zelina Vega gets up on the apron. She's arguing with the referee. And Montez Ford is accidentally sent into Zelina Vega. And Zelina Vega takes a bump off the apron. So off she goes. And Angel Garza when he goes for a tag, there's nobody there. Now, why is there nobody there? Because Andrade went to go check on Zelina Vega. His partner's not there. It's like when the Macho Man carried, or Hulk Hogan carried Elizabeth to the back, and the Macho Man went for the tag, and nobody was there. See, Macho Man had a reason to be upset with Hulk Hogan. That's his wife. He was right about Hogan the whole time. So anyway, we all know where this led. No partner there. And so down goes Angel Garza, and off the top rope with the frog splash comes Montez Ford, rotating in midair, lands the frog splash, gets the pin. Basic match. I mean, I'll go 5 out of 10 on this. Very basic stuff. Not really, didn't feel like a big time pay-per-view or SummerSlam Tag Team Championship match. It's like a TV match. And obviously this is potentially now building to a split between Garza and Andrade, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because they should be single stars. So all of this, all of this stuff with them, all of this stuff with them basically makeshift tag teams, piecing these single stars together. These two guys can be stars on their own. They've been doing the tag team thing for a while. I'm okay if they want to kind of break these guys up and let them go their own way or feud them. So I'm fine with the finish. Kevin Owens said that tomorrow night he's bringing back the Kevin Owens Show, and he has extended the invitation to Aleister Black, who we've not seen for a few weeks. Last we saw, he had a hand injury on TV. So Aleister Black will be back on TV tomorrow night. Caleb Braxton, so they had a wrestling ring set up in some other part of the arena. And Caleb Braxton is in the ring, and she's interviewing the Golden Role Models ahead of Sasha Banks' title defense a little bit later on. And Kayla was trying to stir the pot, and she said, are you willing to do what Sasha did for you earlier? She's trying to just stir shit up. And Sasha says that she can beat Asuka. Bayley can beat Asuka, then so can I. And Bayley busts out the broom. She says, we're going for the clean sweep tonight. She starts sweeping, and she walks off. Bayley has, the one thing about this, they piped in this fake booing. Awful. Just awful. The sound, the crowd noise tonight, I mean, it was almost the tale of two shows. There were moments where it worked, and there were a lot of other moments where I just wanted to mute the sound. This was one of those moments. This fake, obnoxious booing that they piped in, completely unnecessary. Mandy Rose against Sonya Deville in a no-disqualification match where the loser must leave WWE. They did away with the hair-versus-hair stipulation on Friday night in light of the events of last weekend, which, again, I talked about at length on the podcast earlier today, gave my thoughts on that. So, and really, there was no point in doing the hair stipulation anymore. First of all, Mandy already got a haircut, but more importantly, Sonya went on TV on Friday night and said, I don't even care if I should get shaved bald. And I had people telling me they were upset that they got rid of the hair versus hair stipulation. How could they do a hair match if one of the participants, who was probably going to lose, went on TV and said, I don't care if I shave my head. Here, give it to me. I'll shave my own head. Well, then what's the point of the stipulation? Some people thought it was still a hair versus hair match. It didn't make any sense. I thought that was made clear on TV on Friday night, but apparently some people felt otherwise. It would not have made any sense. Matt Ferguson, thank you for the $20, man. Very much appreciate that. You are a superstar. Thoughts on Roman possibly leading Retribution? And he says, I'm guessing KO is involved. Maybe Roman, KO, and Sammy, and they introduce fresh NXT talent to Raw and SmackDown as Retribution. Well, look, I have made my thoughts very clear on how the Retribution thing has come across on TV so far. I think it's come off very poorly. I think so far it is an awful angle, but I'm open to seeing where, obviously it's leading to something big or some kind of big reveal. I don't know how long they're going to drag this out for. And we'll see. If there's a big payoff to this in the end, then that's great. But these stupid segments they've done on TV so far where we're trying to, we're supposed to all be intimidated by Retribution and we're supposed to, take them as some kind of big, serious threat. Who could take them seriously? They throw a brick through a door and they jump up and down like the Lollipop Kids and they go running away. Who cares? There's nothing scary. There's nothing intimidating about them at all. If they have a good payoff for this in the end, then I'll come around on the angle. But so far, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed by what I have seen from Retribution. But there are some interesting possibilities now where Roman, and you mentioned a good point, Sammy. You know, Sami Zayn. You know, he's been tweeting, but we haven't seen him on TV in a while. So, and again, I'm going to get to all of your super chats as we go along here. I want to keep things moving here. So, again, thank you all, everybody who is sending them in. I appreciate the hell out of your support as I let you guys know every week. Mandy and Sonya, this was all Mandy early on here in this match. She was kicking Sonya's ass. She was going after her. She suplexed Sonya on the ramp. She dove off of the announce desk onto her. She pulled a table out from underneath the ring. Took her a while. It took her a while to set the table up. And as she's setting the table up, it gave Sonya a chance to go retrieve a chair. And she put the chair in Mandy's ribs. Took control of the match. There was a standing dragon sleeper in the ring by Sonya. Now, as somebody who, in her case, she has MMA experience. She has fight experience. She has submission experience. This was not a good standing dragon sleeper. She barely had it hooked in. She fell down and, you know, fell down to lock it in more. It really just didn't look very good. She didn't have it in at all. Transitioned into a triangle. Mandy slammed Sonya's head on the announce table outside the ring. Put her on that table that she had set up earlier on. Sonya rolled off. And back in the ring, so that never really came into play after that. She rolled off the table, but it was never broken. So back inside, Sonya tried to use Mandy's own finish, the Bed of Roses, which is the double underhook sit-out face buster. Mandy slipped out, and she hit three straight knee strikes to Sonya Deville. She hit the face buster I just mentioned, and one final running knee strike for the win. Mandy Rose gets her revenge on her ex-best friend, and now Sonya Deville, as per the stipulation, the loser leaves town. Sonya Deville must leave WWE. She is now forced to leave the company. Nobody believes it. Nobody buys it, which is why I hate the stipulation. We all know she's going to be back in a few weeks. But I guess they are giving her time off after what happened last weekend, just to clear her head, or I don't know if there's legal issues now she has to deal with, but it would appear as if that is why she lost this match and they changed the stipulation. And look, if she needs time off and wants time off, it's well deserved. You know, give her however much time she needs. But I hope that she comes back soon, because that SmackDown Women's Division could really use a Sonya Deville right now. The SmackDown Women's Division, the SmackDown Tag Team Division, very, very weak. Very weak. So hopefully once she does come back, she'll be in a prime position to really, you know, get more face time on TV and really make an impact in the division, because they can use her. They can use her and probably one or two new faces from NXT. I'd go 5 out of 10 on this one. Middle of the road. Yeah, for a grudge match, it was missing something. There was something missing in this match, I thought. But Mandy, I thought Mandy Rose looked good. Now, Mandy Rose looked good out there. We don't get to see her wrestling a lot, wrestling long singles matches. This was really probably the biggest singles match of her career. I thought she looked good. Otis ran down with the Money in the Bank briefcase to not cash in, but to celebrate with her. He did the Caterpillar. Mandy did the Caterpillar, not very well. I mean, I should talk. I doubt I could do it any better than she did. She tried, though. Her Caterpillar needs some work. Mandy's Caterpillar needs some work. The only time you'll ever hear me criticize Mandy Rose. Crash with the 5 was listening to the beginning of the podcast, and you were talking about DDP yoga. Would that work, along with a healthy meal delivery service to lose weight? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, I don't want to get too deep into it here. I want to keep things moving. You could always email me, by the way, if you have any questions, but that combined with any number of other things, if you commit to it, it'll work. I was talking to the podcast earlier today, and I came back from the Jericho cruise. I had never been on one before. I'm like, oh, shit, I got on the scale. I said, what happened? And, you know, it's been 7 months. I dropped 16 pounds. I want to lose another 10 if I could. I'm going to look like this by the time it's all said and done. But, yeah, DDP yoga is great, man, if you commit to it. If you commit to it, it works. He has a saying. It's not a weight loss program. Weight loss is just kind of a neat little side effect of it. But trust me, you'll like it. And Jacob Harris and WWE should get a sponsorship from Fruit Roll-Ups. Yeah. I should get a sponsorship from DDP Yoga the way I've been talking it up lately. You would think that I'm being paid. I'm not. But anyway, let's keep things moving along here. I hope you guys are having a good night and enjoying yourselves. Getting ready for the big contest in a little bit. Seth Rollins against Dominic Mysterio in a street fight. 15 years to the very event where Dominic made his WWE pay-per-view debut. Oh, yes, Dominic Mysterio made his pay-per-view debut 15 years ago at this very event. I bet you may not have known that if you're a newer fan. Those of us who have been watching WWE for any number of years, you remember the custody of Dominic ladder match between Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero, if you can believe it, 15 years ago to the very event. And here's Dominic now having his very first match. Seth Rollins came out wearing Phantom gear. He was wearing the same kind of gear that Rey Mysterio... Now, it wasn't a onesie like Rey Mysterio wore. If you remember the Halloween Havoc back in 1997 for the match with Eddie Guerrero, he wore... It was a one-piece suit, but he wore the same kind of gear. You know, the fuchsia or magenta, whatever color it was. That's what Rey wore for his classic match with Eddie Guerrero at Halloween Havoc in 1997. So Dominic's in the back. He's about to go out for his big match. His mother is there, Angie. She's in the back. She's very concerned about, you know, her son being led to slaughter here in this match. And so out comes Dominic Mysterio. Out comes Dominic for his big debut. His father is with him. He actually had pretty cool gear, too, I gotta say. You know, he had pretty cool gear. It was like blue. I don't know why he was wearing a hood. That was kind of weird. He walked out there looking like TJP. I thought that was a little strange, but I thought Dominic looked great. I thought Dominic looked great in this match. Rollins asked Murphy to grab him a kendo stick very early on in the bout. And Dominic hit a drop kick. Rollins dropped the stick. Dominic grabbed it instead. He chased after Rollins. Rollins took the advantage back. He was mocking Rey Mysterio outside the ring. Come help your boy. Come help your son. What kind of father are you? Your son needs your help. Come help your boy. And Rey promised Dominic he wasn't going to get involved, so there was nothing he could do. He was out there. He was powerless to do anything. You felt bad for Rey Mysterio. He's got one eye. He's only got one son. And it wasn't looking too good there for a while for Dominic. So anyway, Murphy slides a chair into the ring. And come on, Papa. Again, Rollins is mocking Rey. Come on, Papa. What are you going to do? Rey gets up on the apron and Dominic waves him off. No, no. Stay out of my business. I don't need your help. So Dominic hit a tornado DDT for a close near fall. He grabs the kendo stick and he begins to wreck Rollins with this stick. He is splintering pieces of the kendo stick off. He's wailing on him so hard, getting revenge for what Rollins did to him on TV a few weeks ago. And up top, Rollins hits the superplex into the Falcon Arrow for a near fall. Murphy then slides a table into the ring. And as Rollins is mocking Rey Mysterio, Dominic crotches Rollins on the top rope. So the table is in the ring setup. He crotches Rollins. He climbs up to the top rope, or the middle rope, right alongside of him. And he gives him a Russian leg sweep using the kendo stick, and they fall backwards, and they both come crashing down through the table. I thought that was a cool spot. Dominic goes for a frog splash. He nails it, but not the best-looking frog splash you'll ever see. It was more like a Sasha Banks frog splash, quite frankly. Gets a two count. Dominic tried to use a chair. Rollins caught him with a super kick. Brutal powerbomb. And what's funny about, I mean, it wasn't funny. I mean, he wrecked this kid with this powerbomb. But I watched the intensity of the powerbomb. And you know who used to do powerbombs like that back in the WCW days when he was still in the cruiserweight division? Eddie Guerrero. And in fact, it was in a lot of matches that he had, I saw, with Rey Mysterio. he would pick the guy up and he would slam them on the mat. That's how Eddie Guerrero used to powerbomb people back in the WCW days. So Rollins removed, Dominic had like a vest on. He removed Dominic's vest. He starts hitting him with the kendo stick. Out comes Angie. Out comes Mama Mysterio. And she comes walking out. She stays on the stage. See, you thought I was... I thought maybe it runs in the family and we were going to see Mama Mysterio come down to the ring and hit a 619 and shock the world. See, that would live up to the tagline of this pay-per-view. That would have lived up to the tagline of this pay-per-view. You'll never see it coming. That I would not have seen coming. If I see Angie Mysterio come down to the ring and hit a fucking tope con hilo. But we didn't get that. She stayed on the stage. And Ray ran up there to kind of hold his, you know, wife back and plead with her. And Dominic rolled up Rollins for a near fall. So they're going on, and I'm moving ahead here a little bit. Murphy was going to take out Dominic's eye, the way that they took out Ray's eye on the edge of the steel steps. He was threatening to do that. Ray could take no more. Ray Mysterio ran down to make the save, and he starts wailing away on Murphy. So they get Rey Mysterio, and they bust out the handcuffs, and they handcuff Rey Mysterio to the ropes. They handcuff one of his wrists to the ropes. So now Rey Mysterio is handcuffed. He can go nowhere. He can do nothing. He's defenseless. He is powerless to do anything to save his son. And Rollins drops the kendo stick. He says, you know, I'm not going to use this on Rey. He turns, and he sees Angie. And he starts slowly walking towards Angie. And, of course, out of nowhere comes Dominic to stop him. Dominic jumps him from behind. And he takes down Murphy. Dominic hit the 619. Rollins got his knees up, though, on a frog splash attempt. He went for another frog splash. It did not pay off this time. He got the knees up. And Rollins was taunting Ray, helpless. Ray is helpless. He's handcuffed. He can't do anything. He can't go anywhere. And Rollins hits the curb stomp and gets the win. And after the match, Rollins holds out the keys. He drops the keys to the cuffs on top of his son's dead body, and he walks off. Very good match. I thought this was a very good match. I'm curious in the chat what you guys thought of this match, because I can see where maybe some people wouldn't have liked it, but... To me, this match, it was more the story, but the match itself, I thought this was a very good match. You know, everybody was singing Pat McAfee's praises last night, and to me, it was the same thing here, where Dominic went in there. I kind of had a sense that the kid was competent. I think I wasn't expecting him to go out there and stink out the joint. I was impressed with Pat McAfee last night, and I was very impressed by Dominic tonight. There were no big, major, noticeable botches. He didn't seem out of place. You know, he looked the part, he played the part well, and I thought they went out there and had a very good match. And look, not a bad dance partner to have. Seth Rollins might say some really stupid shit, but he's a very good professional wrestler. If you're going to have your first match with somebody, Seth Rollins is a good person to have your first match with. So I thought this was very good. I'd go 7 out of 10. I would go 7 out of 10 on this match here. Now imagine if they had a live audience for this, for those moments where he was threatening his wife and handcuffing Ray. And you had the live audience there to react to it. That would have made this even better. I thought Rollins was a wonderful prick in this match. Just a magnificent bastard. Dominic is a natural. The frog splashes could definitely use some work. He's got to work on that. It also didn't help, by the way, that this came right after I just saw a Montez Ford frog splash. Montez Ford has the best frog splash in the company right now. So it didn't help that this had to follow that. It was almost unfair to the kid. But he'll get better. He'll get better. And, you know, coming into this, I made the comparison to the Love Her or Leave Her match at SummerSlam in 1999 between Test and Shane McMahon, as far as a match where Shane had only had a few matches up to that point and was not an experienced pro wrestler. And when the match happened, I think a lot of people were shocked. I was one of those people. It was a shockingly good match. That's one of my favorite SummerSlam matches between Test and Shane in 99. And I made the comparison that Dominic might come in here and impress a lot of people. And he did. But the other thing is, both of them were primarily story-driven matches. The match in 99, it was all about the relationship with Test and Stephanie. Shane's the brother. He doesn't like this guy. I don't want you dating my sister. Like, it was story-based. But, man, the crowd was into it. The crowd was just on the edge of their seat for that match, and they had a great match. And here, this was also very story-driven. If this had a live audience, I think the crowd would have 100% been into this match. So I loved that match in 99. This one, I liked this match. I wouldn't say I loved it, but I liked it. I thought it was a good match. What's going on, everybody in the chat? Type 2020 if you can hear me and if you are ready for the contest coming up here in just a little bit. We're going to get to that here in a few minutes as I play catch up with some of your super chats, like Mr. Olivo. Joe Olivo with the $10. Hope you're staying healthy and safe. SummerSlam was good. Asuka versus Sasha Banks was the best match on the show. You are correct. That was the best match on the show. Chris Quillman, I imagine these guys can't stay home and get paid forever. Do you think Roman was given an ultimatum? They ain't given Roman Reigns no ultimatum. I don't care how many years he may have left on his contract. They don't want to piss off Roman Reigns. Believe me, they didn't give Roman any ultimatum. When it comes to, if he's making the decision to stay at home, because he just had new twins a few months ago. Believe me, this company is not giving Roman Reigns an ultimatum. Nathan Cania, he enjoyed the show tonight. Oofman Entertainment, shout out to one of our mods in the chat. What makes Roman think the Amway Center is safer than the PC? Florida is still a hot spot for COVID. I think he just probably had cabin fever. I mean, he's stuck at home with all those kids. The guy's got like five kids. Does he have like two sets of twins or something? Like baby twins? And I don't know. I mean, I'd want to get the hell out of the house too. I can't say that I really blame him. I'd probably feel the same way if I were him. So maybe he just wanted to get out of the house, you know, and get back to work. Can't blame the guy for that. A. Lavelle, what's going on, Solomon Monster? Not much. I'm doing a stream. How about you? Lonnie Jones and Dizzy C with the $20. Asuka was the MVP of her first SummerSlam. That's right. This was Asuka's first SummerSlam, I believe. And she ended it on a high note. She ended it on a high note. I'm happy for her. She deserves it. She deserved that moment. And speak of the devil. Sasha Banks against Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship. This was, in my opinion, the best match on the entire show. This was a much more aggressive match than the one that Asuka had with Bayley at the beginning of the show. A very good match here. Sasha goes right after the knee. Right out of the gate, bell rings, and Sasha goes right for Asuka's knee, the one that she was favoring, the one that Bayley was working over in the opening match. The ugly spot of the match. And after, there were a couple of them, I feel like. I'm surprised these women didn't kill each other. But there was a sunset powerbomb that Sasha Banks did. Asuka was on the apron. And Sasha Banks was on the apron. And Sasha did this sunset flip off, grabbed Asuka. It was very fluid. That part of it looked great. There was no hesitation. And Asuka went flying and she slammed the back of her head on the ground. This was a brutal spot. You'll probably see it gifted on Twitter. I already saw somebody gift it. It looked nasty. And I would be stunned if Asuka does not have a concussion after that. I call that the CTE slam. That's my name for that. It's not a sunset powerbomb. It is the CTE slam that rattled her brains. They're lucky if she doesn't have a concussion after that spot. A little bit later on, Asuka hit a DDT to Sasha from the top rope. Sasha Banks went for a frog splash. That's the fourth frog splash on this show up to this point. I'm a little fearful the frog splash is going to be the new dive. Can we cool it, please, on the front? Do they not, like, get together and talk to each other so they at least know, like, this guy's going to do a frog splash, this woman's going to do a frog splash? Four of them. And we weren't even done with the show yet. I was waiting for Braun Strowman to come out and do a frog splash, or The Fiend. The Fiend is feeling froggy. We didn't get a Fiend frog splash. But anyway, she went for this frog splash, and that did not work out too well for her. So Asuka catches her in the Asuka lock. Banks reverses into a crossface. And Asuka reverses again into the Asuka lock. Sasha slips out. And Bayley gets up on the apron. So what they did here, they repeated the same spot from earlier. This time, Bayley jumped off the apron. So instead of taking the bullet when Asuka came in for the hip attack, she moved out of the way. And then Asuka caught her with a spinning back fist anyway and knocked her off the apron. So that took out Bayley. And Banks from behind with the backstabber, kind of a modified backstabber, took her over into the bank statement. Asuka slips out into the Asuka lock. And Sasha, she's calling out for Bayley. Bayley, where are you? You're kind of reminding me of when Kairi Sane was calling for Asuka when Bayley was kicking her ass backstage the night that was her final night on TV. And she started screaming, Asuka! And Asuka wasn't there. I don't know if that's what they were playing off of here, but she's calling for Bayley, and Bayley is nowhere to be found, and she has no choice but to tap out. So Sasha Banks taps out, and Asuka is once again the Raw Women's Champion. What does that mean, number three? It's at least twice. I feel like that's number three for Asuka. I thought this was a very good match. I go 7.5 out of 10. That's the highest rating I give to any match on this show. 7.5 out of 10. Best match on the show. Sasha was glaring over at Bayley when the match was over. She was staring down at her tag team championship belt, looking back at Bayley. Bayley was saying, "Oh, I'm sorry. I tried. I tried to be there for you." And the announcers were trying very hard to paint this like this was Bayley's fault. This is all her fault. It just felt very forced because she tried to help her. She got up on the apron. She got knocked off. Sasha tried to put a submission hold on, and Asuka slipped out. That's not Bayley's fault. But I guess the way they can explain it is that at the end, when Sasha needed her and she was crying out for her, she was nowhere to be found. She was on the opposite side of the ring. Maybe that's how they're going to explain it. Because at first, I'm like, she didn't do anything wrong. She was trying to help. Sasha fucked it up. But then at the end, when she called out for her, she wasn't there. So obviously, this is going to lead to the next chapter of Sasha and Bayley. They're going to drop those tag team titles in a week. There's no doubt in my mind. It's just a matter of who. Is it going to be Liv Morgan and Ruby Riott? Is it going to be maybe an NXT team? I'm thinking Liv and Ruby are probably best bet. What other women's tag teams do they have at this point? The Iconic? Let's hope not. I'd rather see Peyton Royce branch out as a single, to be honest with you. I'd like to see her get a shot as a single star on the roster. How many of you would agree? How many of you are up for Peyton Royce singles run? She had a match a few weeks ago on TV that actually impressed the hell out of me. Marty Bison said, I'm ready to win more belts. Yeah, he won the contest. Was it last month, I think? He was the big grand prize winner. That would be something if he won again. People are going to blame me. They're going to say the fix is in. That's why I do it all live on the air. I will show you how I'm going to do it. It's all random. Kurt Wall with the $5. He seems to be excited by the possibility of Roman as a heel. Don't get too excited. Sean Waters with the $5. I know Triple H did not want to piss off Full Sail, but I think TakeOver would have been a much better show at the Thunderdome. I agree. You know, the biggest thing that those NXT TakeOver shows are missing, it's the crowd. And there's still no crowd here, but it's that big event atmosphere. I do think it would have been a more enjoyable show, probably, if it was in that environment. And Jason Henry, watch the episode on Netflix of the documentary show Home Game. They did an episode on wrestling in the Congo, and let me know your thought. Well, you'd be better off emailing me, because I'll probably forget by the time I end this stream with the lack of sleep I've gotten this weekend. I'll be lucky if I remember my own name. But that does sound interesting. So let's move on to the two main events. These are the two big matches on the show here. The WWE Championship. It was Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre. WWE Championship match. So this did not headline. This did not headline the show. I thought this was going to go on last. And then I read earlier in the day that, in fact, it was the Universal title match that was going on last. And that means that the streak continues. The WWE Championship has not headlined a SummerSlam in 6 years. And the WWE title was always positioned as the top title in the company. 6 years, the championship has not been defended in the main event, not since Brock Lesnar murdered John Cena in 2014. That was the last time the WWE title was defended. Since then, it was a couple of Brock Lesnar matches against The Undertaker and Randy Orton, and a bunch of Universal Championship matches. Doesn't feel right. So, at the beginning of this, who should they put on screen in the little box in the corner to just kind of get people hyped up for the match? Oh, why, it's Shawn Michaels. The same Shawn Michaels who took an RKO and a punt kick to the head back-to-back 6 days ago, looking perfectly fine. Just like he looked perfectly, well, I guess he looked perfectly fine on Monday night, so why should there be any surprise? Of course he looked fine. He looked like he was in some kind of log cabin somewhere, like in the middle of the woods. He had one of those globes behind him. Is that supposed to make him look smart? Still hot about the lack of selling of the punt kick on Monday night. But there he was. Both men bled in this match. Randy Orton was bleeding from the forehead. Drew McIntyre was bleeding from the forehead as well. But also, I think he had some blood under his eye. And McIntyre put Orton in the figure four leg lock, which they said, oh, this is kind of like an homage to Ric Flair. I'll say this much. I'm glad that we did not get the predictable Ric Flair comes back and it was all a ruse and he helps Randy Orton win. I'm glad they didn't do that. That would have been very, very lame and very predictable had they gone down that road, and I'm glad they didn't. Ric Flair, he was great that last night. We don't need to see him for a while. Randy Orton grabbed the referee. He's stuck in this figure four. He's writhing in pain. He doesn't know what to do. He grabs the ref. He kind of shoves the ref out of the way. And with the referee distracted, he thumbs Drew in the eye. Like any good heel, he thumbs him in the eye and he breaks the hold. And Orton dropped him in the tree of woe in the corner. McIntyre, though, he grabbed Orton, flung him down, and he got himself back up into a vertical position. Drew McIntyre. Hit the Future Shock DDT, his old finish. Only got a two count out of it. Orton dodged a flying clothesline, hit a power slam, one of those scoop slams he does for a near fall. And McIntyre was being set up for a draping DDT. He avoided that, gave Orton a headbutt, clotheslined him out of the ring. They both fall out to the floor. So Orton hits the draping DDT, and he's setting up, he's teasing for the RKO. And then he has second thoughts, and he's thinking about it, and he's thinking about it, and he says, you know what, I'm going to back up and go for the punt. So he backs up, and he sets up for the punt kick, and McIntyre grabs him as he's coming in. He grabs him, propels him up, and drops him with a powerbomb. McIntyre goes in the corner, sets up for the Claymore kick. In comes Drew McIntyre. Randy Orton ducks. He dodges it. And Drew McIntyre crashes on the mat, crashes and burns. In comes Randy Orton for the RKO. As he goes for the RKO, Drew turns it into a backslide. And as he backslides Orton over, he tries to push all of his momentum forward so Orton can't kick out. And Drew McIntyre pins Randy Orton and retains the championship with a backslide. Now, when was the last time you saw the WWE Championship decided on a backslide in a big pay-per-view main event or co-main event? I don't even remember the last time I saw that kind of finish. And so I'm thinking to myself, because Tom Phillips immediately, you know that the Irish madman was in his ear. Say the line, say the line. So immediately at the finish, we have Tom Phillips on commentary. You never saw it coming. He never saw it coming. Like there's a fucking pull string in his back. He never saw it coming. I'm like, shut up, Tom. We get the point. And I'm thinking, that can't be it. That can't be the whole reason for this tagline, for this pay-per-view. For a fucking backslide finish to the WWE Championship match. I thought the finish was underwhelming for a big match, big championship match like this. But otherwise, if we put the finish aside, it was a very good match. It was a very good match. I'd go 7 out of 10. I put it just below the Sasha-Asuka match. Now, this match was longer. This match was almost 10 minutes longer than that match was, but I enjoyed that match more. But I'll go 7 out of 10 on this. I did not love it as much as some people seem to have loved the match. But you know what? It's another big win for Drew McIntyre. I like that they kept the championship on him. They seem to be all in on the McIntyre wagon. I say that now. Watch, he'll drop it in a week at the next pay-per-view. But I like that they put him over. They had Randy Orton put him over. Randy Orton had been on a roll, right? He beat Edge. He was having this renaissance on TV. And they used him to put Drew McIntyre over. But again, it was kind of a fluky finish, right? He beat him, but did he really beat him? I mean, think about it, right? It's almost like a roll-up finish. It's one of those flash pins. It's like a fluke pin. He beat him, but he didn't really beat him. It makes me think they're going to come back with a rematch next Sunday and put some kind of stipulation. Maybe it'll be a submission match or, I don't know, some kind of stipulation they'll come up with. Maybe it'll be the new greatest wrestling match of all time. Maybe that'll be... We need a tagline for Payback. That's my task for all of you in the chat. Before we're done here tonight, I want you guys... I'm tasking you guys with the job of coming up with a tagline for Payback. What is the subtitle for the Payback pay-per-view next Sunday? Because they all have to have subtitles now. Right? They all have to have Too Big for One Night. That was WrestleMania. Money in the Bank was Climb the Corporate Ladder. The Greatest Wrestling Match Ever. That was Backlash. The Horror Show. That was Extreme Rules. We need a title for Payback. We only have 1 week to figure it out. This is where we got the Keith Lee ad. They mentioned that Keith Lee is going to be making his debut appearance formally. I mean, I guess during Survivor Series he may have made a cameo, but he is going to be making his official Monday Night Raw debut tomorrow night. I am in favor of this move. I was talking about this in my NXT TakeOver review last night, which is also up here on the channel if you missed it. Keith Lee losing the championship so soon after winning it sucked, but if the idea was get the belt off him because we need him on Raw, we need him on SmackDown, then I'm all for it because the guy is ready. The guy is ready to move on up. I just hope we don't look back at this 6 months or a year from now and go, he didn't move up so much as he moved down. I hope that turns out not to be the case. But he's big. And if you're a big guy, you're always going to have more opportunities than a smaller guy is. That's just the way it is. That's the way it's always been. So I think Keith Lee is going to do well. I'm glad that he's getting this opportunity. And I'm hoping that the other half of what I talked about comes true as well, which is Finn Balor soon moves back to the main roster. And you could send Finn over to SmackDown. He doesn't need to be on the same brand with Keith Lee. I said, send Lee to Raw and send Balor to SmackDown. Now the Fiend is the champion. You could do, you know, there's any number of things you can do. They got Roman Reigns back. All of a sudden, they have some faces that they could put at the top of the cards on these shows, which they desperately need because there was nobody. You know, coming out of the pay-per-view, Drew McIntyre won. Now, if Drew McIntyre is going to have a rematch with Orton next Sunday, okay, well, what happens if he beats him again? Who's next for Drew McIntyre? It might have to be Keith Lee by default because who else is there? You know, Seth Rollins, he already beat Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins is still feuding probably with the Mysterio family. Aleister Black, you do babyface against babyface? I guess they could. Aleister Black is going to be back on TV tomorrow night. We'll see what he has to say. Maybe they'll factor him into the, into the championship picture. Chats here on the subtitles. Time to pay up is one suggestion. Payback, it's a bitch. See, that would be good. Unfortunately, though, that's not PG. So I don't see them. That's actually really good. I wish they would go with that. Payback's a bitch. That's going to be the subtitle of the next pay-per-view. They really wanted to put an edge on it. That's the title that I would go with. That might be the best one yet. Keep them coming. Rodimus Prime, overall good show. The Big Dog is back, which I'm about to get to here in a second. Stephen Fowler, thank you for the $5. Dry chicken without flavor, which is a terrible thing. The Thunderdome, Rollins versus Dominic, and McIntyre versus Orton were his SummerSlam highlights for the night. Andrew Sullivan with the 12th spot. Love the podcast. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Lou Rivera, stop calling it a hip attack. It is an ass splash. Oh, I stand corrected. I stand corrected. Watermelon Oranges with the $5. Neither one of those are my favorite fruits. If you said strawberry apple, I can get behind that. Stray bullet. Look at this. I just got hit by a stray bullet. We don't like roll-up finishes, but it worked for Drew and Randy. Spamming finishers and kicking out is played out. This is storytelling. We'll see. If there's a rematch, then it's storytelling. If it's not, then it's a cop-out finish. Jared with the 25. Thank you, Jared. And Ant McCall. That was a hell of a moment of... He says that was a hell of a moment of silence. Well, we got to keep things moving here. You know, I can't be silent for too long. Dead air is... If this were a radio show, dead air is like the worst thing that you could possibly do. Believe me, I used to work at a radio station many years ago, and you don't want dead air. And HBKC83, thank you for the 10 spot. We got a lot more to get to, and I promise you that we will. But let us get to our main event. Again, if you're just coming in and you're wondering where are all these super chats coming from, you'll see that little dollar button in the chat. That's what it's for. And in the description below, there are special amounts that will trigger funny little images and animations, and that's up to you if you want to do that. Falls count anywhere for the Universal Championship. Braun Strowman defending against The Fiend. Bray Wyatt. Braun Strowman comes out. Fiend gets his full entrance. Braun comes out with a camo vest on. And Michael Cole says, if you have a weak stomach, you might want to turn away. So all of you people with weak stomachs, I hope you didn't watch this match, because this apparently was going to be so horrific. I didn't know if he was referring to the match. I didn't know if he was referring to the booking. Urinage by The Fiend right away, which is impressive. Braun Strowman is a big guy. He got him up for the Urinage, slammed him down. And he followed that up by the old Zeus neck snap. Remember that from No Holds Barred? Zeus would grab someone. He would grab their neck and he would snap their neck. Funniest fucking move. And The Fiend has incorporated it into his offense. Of all the moves to borrow. So The Fiend goes under the ring, he grabs a toolbox. And I had horrible flashbacks, because the last time that we saw a toolbox involved, I mean, we have a toolbox every week when I look over and I see Michael Cole at the announce desk, but I mean an actual toolbox, was the Hell in a Cell match last year between The Fiend and Seth Rollins. And that is one of my all-time classic reviews here on YouTube from last year when they had that Hell in a Cell match. I hate even thinking about that Hell in a Cell match, but I think if I remember correctly, Rollins was digging through a toolbox and they had the giant mallet and, brings back nightmares. So he goes and he fishes a toolbox out from under the ring and he hits Strowman with the toolbox, hits him with the actual box, and Strowman fights back, hits a running charge through the barricade over by the timekeeper's area, and then Strowman chokeslams Bray Wyatt onto the announce desk. The desk did not break, and it actually looked like The Fiend, he chokeslammed him, and he landed right on the edge of the desk, and the referee went right over to check on him, so hopefully he's okay, because that looked like... Yeah, you get chokeslammed, you land right on that lower back area. I mean, that's what did Shawn Michaels in, right? On the casket all those years ago. So whenever I see that, it's like, ugh, hopefully he's all right. You know, as we saw last night at TakeOver, Karrion Kross, all it takes is one move. And that was on a clothesline or a shoulder tackle. Everyone said it was the spirit bomb. Go back and watch that match. Lee came off the ropes, I think it was a shoulder tackle, and right away, Karrion Kross, he's clutching his shoulder. All it takes is one move. And you can be fucked. So the table didn't break. He fell to the ground. And ring steps to the face by Braun Strowman. Braun is killing this guy. Back inside, he gives him they called it a running power slam. I call it the not-so-running power slam. It ain't no British Bulldog running power slam. He just picked him up.
Thinking that Hangman could turn heel.
And there it is. You're right. Somebody before said that some of these chats are triggering certain audio, and that's what it is. You're absolutely right. So I'm going to have to go in there and fix it. It's weird, too, because they're all supposed... I'll mute it. There you go. It's funny, because when I start hearing... I hear the voices from the phone call, and I'm like, where's that... Is it like Retribution? Is it like the SmackDown hacker or something? Where's that noise coming from? I'll have to take care of that when the stream is over. That's funny. So anyway, like I said, ring steps to the face. Not so running power slam by Braun for a two count. And after The Fiend kicks out, the camera zooms in on Braun and he mouths, what the fuck? And Michael Cole, according to Michael Cole, though, that's not what he said. According to Michael Cole, he said, what on earth do I have to do? That is not what Braun Strowman said. I'm here to tell you that Michael Cole lied to you. That is not what Braun Strowman said. So they brawl up the ramp, and they go to the back. Yes. Eric in the chat says, do you hear voices in your head? Do they talk to you? Yes. They understand, too. They talk to me, and they understand. So they brawl to the back. They're over in that gorilla position in the back, and the Fiend ends up hitting his sister Abigail on the floor. Only gets a two count, because it is false count anywhere. So they could technically go anywhere they want to. And I was like, all right, here we go. They're going in the back. Like, I love matches like that when they take the fight to the back. I love it when they leave the building. I love shit like that. So I'm like, go. Like, keep going. Let's see where they end up. And what do? They come right back out into the fucking arena. I go, well, what's the point of having a false count anywhere match? And that's the biggest knock I would have on this match, aside from the sudden finish. This didn't have to be a false count anywhere match. I mean, think about it. Think about how the match ended. Think about what they did and where they went. There was no reason for this to really be a false count anywhere match. It could have been just a no disqualification, no holds barred match. Call it a funhouse match. Come up with whatever name for it you want. They didn't take advantage of the stipulation. That's what I want to see them take advantage of the stipulation. So they didn't do that. So that was kind of disappointing. But they come back into the arena, and my other critique is this. And go back and listen to it. When they come back into the building, I'm listening to the crowd noise, and it is a steady stream of just, like, noise. So they didn't even try to, like, make it sound somewhat realistic. It's just someone pushed a button, let's just play a bunch of random noise. It sounded like the expressway in the background. Like, they're brawling, and the highway is back there. And you hear that stream of, like, car traffic. This is not one of those moments where they utilize the crowd audio in a very good way. Puts the mandible claw on Strowman. He fights it off. He runs Wyatt right back into the LED apron. Braun was bleeding from the top of his head. Hits the running power slam in the ring. Another kick out. The Fiend kicks out again. So Braun heads over to the toolbox outside, and he grabs a box cutter. I'm like, oh shit, he's going to cut him. He's going to shank this guy here in the main event. Braun Strowman is officially going to go full heel here in this match. And instead, he slices open the mat. He slices open the canvas. He rips a hole in it. He's ripping up the canvas. He's exposing the boards underneath. And the Fiend gets up. Fiend gets up, and he delivers another Uranage to Braun, this time on the boards. He gives him another Sister Abigail. He gives him a third Sister Abigail. That was the third one of the match. And the Fiend covers Braun Strowman, and he pins him 1-2-3. And that's it. And he wins back the Universal Championship. The finish came out of nowhere. It felt like, okay, this is the main event. They have this stipulation. He just tore up the mats. We're heading into the final, like, maybe 4, 5, 6 minute stretch. Let's see what the big climactic finish is going to be. And it just ended. Now, it was the right outcome. I'm glad they put the championship back on the Fiend. Never should have taken it off him when they did in Saudi Arabia. That was bullshit. What they did with Goldberg back in February was bullshit. There is no hindsight, oh, it was the right thing to do. No, it wasn't. So they have righted the wrong. They put the championship back on the Fiend here. But I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. This pay-per-view was, you'll never see it coming. This sucked. If this was a finish, this finish sucked. Where's the big moment? Where's the big you'll never see it coming moment here? Are the Nexus Ninjas going to come back out? Are we going to get some kind of big reveal? What's going on here? And all of a sudden, no sooner am I thinking that than Roman Reigns makes his big grand return. He spears the Fiend. He starts pounding the hell out of him on the mat. He's mounting him. He's punching him. He is raining blows down upon him. Heads outside. He gives a spear to Braun Strowman for good measure. Takes him down. And he starts yelling at him, I made you. You're not a monster. Which he did, by the way. Roman Reigns working with Braun Strowman. He worked a lot of matches with Braun Strowman. He helped make Braun Strowman into a singles main eventer. Roman Reigns does deserve credit for that. They worked together a lot and actually worked pretty well together. I thought the two of them had some pretty good chemistry. That was back during the phase where Braun Strowman would run into things. So if you open, like if Braun came charging in at you and like you sidestepped him, he would run into a wall. There was that one match with the back of the ambulance. He came charging in, and I think Roman opened the ambulance door, and he ran into the ambulance, and he locked him in there. But they had a lot of matches together. So Roman is going off on him. I made you. You're not a monster. He grabs a chair. He starts destroying Strowman. I counted seven. I think seven chair shots to the back. Gets back in the ring. Another spear to the Fiend. Now he's talking crap to the Fiend. You know, he grabs the championship. This has always been mine. You're just a freak in a mask. You can't handle the responsibility. This is mine now. Like, he's talking crap. This is the version of Roman Reigns that I think would have gotten over with people if he was pushed like this from the very beginning. Kind of like he was when he was in the Shield. That's why he was so popular. It wasn't until they had to corporatize him. They had to make him the number one guy, and they have their way of doing that, that people turned on him. That, they wanted Daniel Bryan, but that's a whole other story. But Roman came off here like a total badass. They closed out the show with a shot of him holding up the Universal Championship, holding it up high, and everybody is getting all excited, and I'm getting super chats about it right now. Heel Roman Reigns. Does this mean that Roman Reigns has gone heel? No, it doesn't. That is not what it means. Could Roman Reigns go heel? Look, anything's possible. I'm not sitting in on the creative meeting. I can't tell you for sure, but I would be stunned. I would be stunned if they turned Roman Reigns heel. I don't think Vince McMahon has it in him to do it. He didn't have it in him to do it with John Cena. He doesn't have John Cena anymore. He's probably so happy to have Roman Reigns back. He's so happy to have his big dog back. You think he's going to turn this guy heel? But I think Roman Reigns with a little bit of an edge to him, like we saw here, that's a Roman Reigns that I think I could get behind. That's a Roman Reigns that I think could get over. I mean, he's already over, but you know what I mean. Like, could become popular. You know, he's just a big badass who comes out there and he takes people out and he talks shit to them. What's not to like? He's cool. So I like that. Actually, that ending there with him coming back, that was a big moment. I guess that was the big you'll never see it coming moment. So at least we got something. And apparently Roman has new veneers. I don't know how many of you noticed that. He got new teeth. Roman has new veneers. It looked kind of strange. So he got new teeth during his time away. So that was your SummerSlam show for 2020. I thought on the whole, pretty good show. When I look at the matches I enjoyed, there really wasn't any match that I thought sucked on this show. I thought the U.S. title and the tag team title matches were very basic TV type matches. I thought the women's matches were good. The Sasha match with Asuka was the best match on the show. I enjoyed Rollins and Dominic. I enjoyed the WWE Championship match, at least until the finish. The main event I thought was a little underwhelming. Actually, the main event was underwhelming. As a main event, it was underwhelming. The only reason it was there, though, now we know why the Universal title match went on land. Well, two reasons. Number one, a fucking backslide. But number two, the Roman Reigns thing at the end. That's why that match had to go on last. So it makes sense. On the whole, I give this show a thumbs up. I don't know what you guys thought. We're going to find out right now because I'm going to flash over to the Twitter poll. And there it is. SummerSlam with an overwhelmingly positive response. 75% thumbs up. And just shy of 25% thumbs down. Over 2,100 votes in already. So you guys got to get your votes in. And let me know what you thought of SummerSlam. But on the whole, it seems like people are in agreement that this on the whole was a thumbs up show. I'm telling you, the Thunderdome really did make a difference on this show. And I will give them credit for that. It is a work in progress. This is only the second show that they have done from their little Thunderdome over there. But I do feel like it made a world of difference here on this show tonight. Now, before we move things along here, I do want to get everybody primed and prepped and ready because it is now time. I feel like Howard Finkel now. It is now time for the Wrestle Rumble Draped in Gold contest. So what we're going to do real quickly here is I am going to paste all 4,000 plus names into a field on the website random.org. So the way we do this is I will actually show you guys exactly what I am doing. This is the website right here. And this is a list randomizer. And what's going to happen is when I paste these names into the field here, I'm going to click that randomize button as I put the list in here right now. I'm going to hit that randomize button in a second. So let me scan this list and show you just so you can see all of these names. And there are some duplicates because some people entered more than once. 4,000 names. We had a lot of entries in this contest. When I hit the randomize button, it's going to jumble all the names up and come back with a numbered list. Whoever is number 20, how about we do that? Whoever is number 20 on that list is going to be the winner. And this is winner take all. So the winner wins the classic Winged Eagle Intercontinental Tag Team Belts and a mystery championship that I will reveal here in a second. And so with all of that being said, Why don't we get right to it? Let's give the drum roll treatment here. Drum roll, please. The winner of the Draped in Gold contest is Hannah Moore. Hannah Moore, you are the winner of the Draped in Gold contest. Here it is. She's number 20 on the list. Holy shit, we had a female winner. Think about the ratio. Think about the ratio, the male to female ratio, and how unlikely it was that we probably would have had a female winner to this contest. Holy shit. I actually think that's awesome. Hannah Moore, you are the winner. Actually, you know what? I shouldn't say that. I'm assuming the person is a female, but I could be wrong. And now I just made that person feel really bad. But Hannah Moore, you are the winner of the contest. Congratulations. You win the World Championship Winged Eagle, the Classic Intercontinental, the Classic Tag Team, and the Mystery Championship that you win is the old classic Ted DiBiase Million Dollar Championship, which in fact is not worth $1 million. So don't bother trying to resell it on eBay. But you win all of the championship belts. They are going to be shipped out to you via FedEx tomorrow, courtesy of Wrestle Rumble. I hope you enjoy your belt. And I hope that you also will tweet me photos once you get the belt at Solomonster. Send me a photo, and I will be sure to share that and retweet that with the rest of the world. So there it is. I mean, that's several hundred dollars worth of championships going to Hannah, and I hope she enjoys it. It's always fun to do these contests. And one more announcement. We're not done here yet with this contest. We are not done because, as you see on your screen, this is the next contest. This is coming up next month. I believe the WWE Clash of Champions show is on September 27th. If so, that is when the drawing will be. This is the NXT Gold Rush. This is next month's contest. Winner take all. Every single belt you see on that screen right now, every single NXT championship or NXT UK championship is going to one lucky winner. NXT title, NXT North American title, tag team titles, NXT UK, NXT women's. Look at that. Cruiserweight, 8 championship belts, and all it costs you is $1. $1. So I believe you should be able to actually sign up for it right now if you go to WrestleRumble.com. I don't have the website open in front of me, but that's going to be ridiculous. And I'm going to be back here next month doing that contest live as well, picking one very, very lucky winner. So I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know how they're doing it. Those belts cost a pretty penny, but I don't ask questions. I just do the contest. WrestleRumble, they're good people over there. So anyway, definitely get in on that. That was fun. I love giving stuff away. I love giving belts away. I'm not giving those belts away that you see on the wall, but I love giving belts away. And you know what else I love doing is reading your super chats and taking your phone calls. I love making this show interactive here. So I'll be reading off the rest of the super chats while I... And if you have questions, send them on in. Call in, super chat in. We'll be here a little while longer. This is the big stream of the weekend. This is the big finale. So if you got questions, send them on in. I'll be here for a little while. Diane with the $5 says, I'm 45 years old. I've been watching a ton of wrestling growing up. And that Roman guy is still just boring. Wow. How about that? Not a big Roman Reigns fan. Garrus Vicarion, the highlight of the show was the Pikachu cameo. The Pikachu cameo? Did I miss something? I feel like I may have missed something here. Clue me in on that. Sean Waters wanted to send another 10. Speaking of call-ups from NXT, he says, when I saw Cesaro last night, I told my buddy I think he always shows up to convince Triple H to bring him back to NXT full-time. Well, look, I mean, right now he's the SmackDown Tag Team Champion. He's in a decent... I mean, not that the belts mean anything. I mean, you know, they're as good as toilet paper right now, considering they have no real teams in the division. Although, from what I hear, the Forgotten Sons may be on their way back. Oh, joy! I can't wait for that. I can't wait for the Forgotten Sons to come back to TV. Actually, you know what? Cutler and... Steve Cutler and the other guy, Blake, Wesley Blake. Yeah, they're a decent team. I wouldn't mind them getting a shot, so... I joke about the Forgotten Sons, but they really don't have any division right now. The division is very, very lame in the SmackDown brand right now. So Cesaro back in NXT doing some matches, or even NXT UK. Didn't he have that match with Dragunov? Ilya Dragunov? That was a pretty damn good match. So I wouldn't mind that. That sounds like a good plan to me, if they wanted to use him in that way. Get no argument from me. Cashmere with the $5. Your predictions had me excited, but stupid us thinking they would ever think outside the box. Yeah, some of my predictions, I knew they were out there. I was kind of hoping maybe they would shock us a little bit, but in a good way. I mean, I tried to, you know, predict stuff that actually made sense, and that did not happen. The cheeseburger. Someone tell Meek Man to get rid of that whole virtual fans gimmick. It is distracting. It's like witnessing 50,000 HDTVs on a WWE pay-per-view. Jacob Donnelly, in my opinion, Bray's matches have been terrible under the Fiend gimmick. If they wanted to make Roman the champion, I think I would be okay with that. And holy shit. I thought I read that wrong at first. I thought that was $9.99. That was $99.99. Holy crap. Abdul Rahman with the $100 super chat. Dude, you are... Oh, my God. Abdul, you're a crazy man. What are you doing? He says, I bet you never saw this coming. Well, you know what? You got me there. There, I got my never saw this coming moment right now on the stream. $100. What the fuck, man? Holy shit. That's awesome. It says, also, SummerSlam was good, and can we expect you to be with the Thunderdome universe in the future? I don't think I'm going to do the Thunderdome gimmick. I tried the other day. I tried to be part of their little test. And I just saw a weird video, and I got bored, and I just disconnected. So I'll leave the Thunderdome to you guys. I'm busy doing my work for all of you. I don't need to be sitting on camera looking bored out of my mind. Julian Connors, never review NWA again. Well, you may get your wish. I don't know if there's ever going to be another NWA show again. Young Casper Jett. Never saw the big dog coming. Decent show. Cheeseburger can't wait for Dominic against 10-year-old former tag team champion Nicholas. And Kevin, oh my God, thanks for the 6+ hours of content this week. Always appreciate your dedication. Well, as long as you guys keep tuning in, I'll keep doing it. We got another pay-per-view next weekend. We got an NXT stream on Wednesday, AEW stream on Thursday. This month ain't over yet. We got 3 more streams this month after this. Let's mix some super chats in with your phone calls. How about that? Let's go to 956. You are the first call of the night.
Hey, Jason. How you doing? Long time no talk.
What is going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I want to talk about the match between... I want to talk about the match between Dominic and Seth Rollins.
Let's do that.
All right. I'm impressed with Dominic. I'm really impressed.
I can't believe it's been, what, 15 years? He appeared in SummerSlam back in 2006.
15 years he would have been. Well, what is he now? 20? I think he's 23 eight. Years old.
Yeah, eight.
Yeah,
eight years old.
Yeah,
eight years old.
Well, I mean, look,
I was impressed.
Yeah, I was impressed too. And that was probably, I don't know, maybe that might have been my second favorite match on the show, actually. What was any other like top line thoughts here? Because we're gonna keep things moving along here. But any other like final big thoughts coming out of the pay per view tonight?
Well, I think I got a pretty good name for the next pay per view. Why not Payback as a Punk? How about that?
I think we could do better than that. I like Payback as a Bitch. That's my favorite so far.
All right, that's fine. I'll let you go now.
All right, awesome.
All right.
Take care. Payback is a Bitch. It's going to be hard to top that one. 615.
Solid Monster, Sean from Tennessee. How you doing, my friend?
Good, Sean. How you doing?
Doing all right. I had three quick thoughts. First was, I like Roman Reigns coming back. I hope he learns from Drew, or has learned from Drew, as far as being a good badass babyface, because Drew's done it great, and I hope Roman learns from that, because I'm not a Roman hater, but I think he's got some stuff he needs to figure out coming back. But I like him a lot, so we'll see what he does. The second thing was, is Drew Orton the finish just to make the match next week again at Payback? Was that what that was for?
I assume that must be. I mean, if they're having a pay-per-view in a week, I would imagine we're going to get a WWE title match, and Orton had like a smirk on his face when he was outside the ring after the match, and the finish, it wasn't a decisive finish, so it almost feels like they have to bring it back one more time. And I'd like to see, if they do that, I'd like to see McIntyre actually win with his move. I'd like to see him get a win, a clean, decisive win with the Claymore, and then move on to someone else. The only question is, who's that going to be?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. And that's what led to my last question was, the Seth Dominic was a really good match. I was glad to see Dominic do well, but you know, where does Seth go? Because he can't go to Drew this fast, can he?
No, I mean, Drew already beat him. I really don't have any interest in that. I don't think it's over. I mean, I think clearly it's going to build to a Rey Mysterio match, a tag team match. Who knows? Maybe Dominic turns on his father because his father went back on his word. He told his father, I don't want you to be involved, and he got involved. Maybe that's could lead to something potentially. So Seth's not done with them just yet.
But yeah, I thought the show was good. I really liked it overall, and I appreciate you taking my call, Solomon Monster.
Awesome. That seems to be the prevailing opinion so far. I mean, I haven't really heard from anybody who hated the show. I'm sure there are people who hated it. And believe me, I'm the first one to call out WWE on their shit. But when this show was over, I felt it was a pretty strong, you know, not the best SummerSlam, obviously, I've ever seen, but I thought on the whole, it was a pretty strong show. Let's see if 312 agrees.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I was excited for this show, but by the end, I didn't really like the show as much as everybody else did. I thought I was really disappointed in what they did with The Fiend, because, you know, he's the champion, but everybody knows Roman's coming for him, you know? Like, what's up with that? Like, why would you put the belt on him if you bring Roman back the same night? I don't know, man. I was really disappointed by that.
Well, if Braun's been acting like a heel, but if he's still a babyface, it could just be they don't want Roman to beat another babyface for the championship. I mean, I certainly hope The Fiend is not what Keith Lee was in NXT, you know, like a transitional champion.
I was surprised by Keith Lee losing last night, but him moving to Raw was like really, you know, it was pretty obvious they were going to move him up. You know,
they had to.
But other than that, yeah, definitely. Other than that, the only thing, I was a really huge Drew McIntyre fan, but him winning with a backslide just kind of took all the air out of my excitement. Like, I was just like, what? Like, by the end, I thought at least we're going to get a Claymore or something, but nothing. It was just kind of like a nothing finish. And I was just kind of, I don't know.
Because obviously they're going to come back with it again. It's the only explanation for it. It's just the only thing that makes any sense.
Yeah, just like just knowing, just seeing that and knowing they're going to come back next week just made me go, oh, they want me to tune in next week. Like, we're not getting nothing this week. So it's just like the whole show was good, but just the last two main events kind of made me go, eh, you know, I don't know. I didn't like it as much as everybody else did, but I appreciate you doing this, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I can agree with what he said there. I think the two main events of the show, the two title matches, had finishes that were very underwhelming. The Drew McIntyre match was not a bad match, but it was an underwhelming finish. And the main event had an underwhelming finish. But some of the undercard matches were strong enough to lift the show up to a positive score. So that's how I would kind of describe that. 310, who am I talking to?
Marcia, this is Octavius. I'm actually in St. Louis, Missouri, but I kept my Los Angeles area code.
Octavius, what's going on?
I'm sorry, what was that?
So what is going on? What kind of, now are you having a good night? I mean, what's popping? What's going on? Or what does Sam Roberts say? What's the haps? Is that what Sam, I still don't know what that means. What's the haps? That's what Sam Roberts apparently
what's
says.
What's the haps?
Yeah, what's the haps?
Well, I was just curious. I know you were talking about Drew doesn't really have anybody to go against, but I was thinking because the last time he fought against Bobby Lashley, you know, Lana interfered and that cost Bobby Lashley to win. And ever since then, they've been building Bobby Lashley up. And I feel like if Bobby Lashley wins the championship, he has more to go. He has more opponents that, you know, he can go against Kevin Owens. He can go against Aleister Black, who beat him at WrestleMania. He's never, you know, he never got any revenge for that. He can go against Keith Lee, who's coming back. And if they can get Brock Lesnar back, you know, he can go against him. That's four matches that can possibly get, that's four opponents that can possibly get him to, you know, WrestleMania. What do you think about that?
It's possible. I mean, I don't know what Brock's status is as far as when he may come back. I mean, now they're in the bigger building. Maybe they were waiting to get back in a big building so Brock can get his pyro and it can just kind of be a bigger feel for his matches. So if Brock comes back, you know, Drew already beat him. Would they bring Brock back just to have Drew beat him again? And if not, then what's to be gained by having Brock just get his win back over Drew McIntyre? I don't want to see that.
Well, no, I don't want him to, I don't want Brock to beat Drew. I want Bobby to beat Brock. And then I want Drew to beat Bobby.
Oh, the Lashley match. Yeah, I mean, I thought maybe they were building to that. I thought, you know, the Hurt Business was going to kind of take over the Raw Underground thing, and one week Brock was just going to show up, and they haven't even been back in the Underground thing the last 2 weeks, so it certainly doesn't look to me like they're building to anything with Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar. Probably going Bobby Lashley and Apollo Crews.
I get you. But like I said, the thing I really, even if they don't have Brock, like the most important thing is to put the title. To me, I think that Bobby Lashley should get the championship, and then Drew gets the title back from him at next year's WrestleMania, because again, Drew lost. I mean, because Bobby lost to him because of Lana, so he can beat him, and then he can get it. He can avenge his loss to Aleister Black, and then he can beat Kevin Owens, and then he can beat Keith Lee, and then, you know, Drew. You don't have to have him win the Rumble again, but then he can just get another title shot somehow, some other way at WrestleMania, get a title back from Bobby. I like the, when the baby faces have to chase the heel.
Yeah, I just don't know if that's going to be the heel. And realistically, I don't see them doing that at all. But yeah, I mean that could work. That could work too.
Well, yeah, that's it though. I know you got a lot of people to take care of. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling in, Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar. Does anybody? How many people in the chat are interested still in seeing that match? Would that get you excited? If Brock Lesnar walked back in and challenged Bobby Lashley to a match. I feel like there was a lot of interest in that program a few years ago, and they never did it. So it almost feels like the bloom now is off the rose. Juan Ocampo. I don't know when he sent this super chat, but he said, I'm on my sixth cup of Jack. He could be on his 13th cup by now. And he says, Cameron Grimes. He wanted me to say that. So there you go. For his $1.99, I said that. $5 from Reconsum. My parents were at Survivor or SummerSlam 1999, but did not take me because I was a baby. Radical 808. I did pop for the kendo stick leg sweep onto the table spot. That was in the Dominic match. Sean Plichta, or Plichta. Thanks for all you do. I thank you. Luis, oh my goodness, it's our friend Luis. Luis is in the chat, everybody. Luis Antonio Alejandro. To everyone in the chat, get your head out of your gut because Roman Reigns did not turn heel. That might be the smartest thing Luis has ever said. Lupo Della Luna. Peyton Royce, Women's Champion 2021. It could happen. Old Flicks Joe. SummerSlam was okay. Best overall great wrestling weekend, but highlight for me was Mr. Brody Lee winning the TNT title from Cody. And RKO Callup, next pay-per-view is on me for his $9.99 Super Chat. Well, thank you. That'll take care of 1 month of WWE Network. It is kind of a business expense, I guess. I mean, I'm subscribed so I can watch all these shows for you guys. NWO Elite, thank you for the Super Chat. Dry Chicken, we don't need another hero. We don't need to know the way home. All we want is life beyond the Thunderdome. So said the great Tina Turner. Bones Jones, payback. You'll forget that it's coming. It's okay. That's all right. We can do better. Level 20, Facto Tomb. I wonder what hurt more for Asuka, that CTE slam or the slap beatdown from Minoru Suzuki. Oh, yeah, if you've never seen that before, you can go look that up on YouTube. You ever question the toughness of Asuka, you've never seen her get her ass kicked by Minoru Suzuki, which she requested, by the way. That was something she wanted. I think she might have been on her way out of Japan. It's brutal. Brutal. Michael Cuomo, did you hear about Lenny Dykstra on Twitter saying rest in peace Kamala and sending it to the president of Uganda? Well, that does sound like a nails move there. That sounds like something Lenny Dykstra. I'm surprised Lenny Dykstra can even work Twitter at all. Wasn't he hanging out at the crack house somewhere? And Marcus Brown, our second $100 bomb of the stream. Marcus Brown, Marcus is still with us. Thank you, Marcus. So Roman new t-shirt says, wreck everything and leave. What has Retribution been doing the whole time? Could be a connection there. That's possible. We didn't get any Retribution at all tonight. The lights didn't flicker. They didn't attack the truck. They didn't attack the power grid or the generator outside. They didn't interfere in any of the matches. But we did get Roman Reigns. You know, I think somebody had emailed me earlier, and I think I kind of rejected the idea just because I didn't think that they would have the guts to do anything with him. And if let's say Retribution is made up of NXT people or, you know, newer stars, I'm intrigued, though, to see if there is a connection there. I'm not convinced that there is, but that t-shirt could be a sign. But Marcus, holy shit. Got $200 bombs on this stream. You guys are neck and neck in the lead right now. I don't think anybody's beating you. Thank you to Marcus. That's fucking awesome, man. Wow. You've left me speechless, Marcus. That doesn't happen very often because all I do is talk. But you have, and that's actually horrible if you're streaming on YouTube. You don't want to be speechless. But I'm speechless. I'm without speech. So now would be a good time to take another call. How about that? Let's go to 646. Wow. Apparently 646 is speechless as well. 646, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing, Solomon?
All right, good. Who are we talking to?
You're speaking with Max.
Hey, Max.
All right. Yeah, overall, I thought the show was pretty decent. I've seen worse pay-per-views. And also, to answer your question about Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley, I'm not really interested in seeing that. They kind of like, you know, the build for Bobby Lashley wasn't, the anticipation wasn't, was there once when he first got into the WWE, but now I'm just not really interested. But overall, I'd like to thank you for what you do and keep up the good work.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot. That was from,
no problem.
That was from 646. We got the lines all jammed up here.
So let us go to... Actually, before we do that, let me barrel through some more of these here. Goohop the Great with the $5. Christos, thanks for the great content. Well, you're very welcome. Clamp God, CM Punk teased a Retribution debut a lot today. CM Punk just fucks with people. CM Punk has been talking about Retribution now for a few weeks. That's just CM Punk fucking around. He ain't going to be part of Retribution. Naif Al-Safar with the $15. What's going on, Naif? I gave you a shout-out on the podcast earlier today. Marty Bison, we need more people to hit the like button. Yes, please. My God, if you're hanging out here tonight, what are you doing? Hit that thumbs up. Every time you do, it helps the video out. It gets more people to notice it and click onto it. So just hit that thumbs up. That doesn't cost you a thing. The Barf Nuggets, 24... Cameron Grimes. I'm not going to say that all night. Ryan Spies. Braun did not go full Gus Fring on The Fiend. I do miss Breaking Bad. Fried Chicken. I could have swore that Mandy Rose also dropped an F-bomb during her match. If she did, I didn't notice. James Hollins. I was worried Strowman was going to cut off The Fiend's mask. That's what I thought. I thought he was going to take the box cutter and cut off the mask. So I didn't know what he was going to do with that. Juan Ocampo, now on my 7th cup of Jim Beam, Apple, and Coke. I'm off work on Monday. Everybody in the chat, buy or sell. Solid Monsters, Willow, or Cameron Grimes' voice. And Chris says, payback retribution. That could well be. I guess we'll find out tomorrow night what the tagline is going to be for payback. 401.
Yo, Jason, it's Dick Tickles calling you from the Thunderdome with the 10-centimeter Master Blaster.
All right, Dick Tickles from Twitter.
What is up?
Chiming in every now and then, joining us tonight. So what did you think of SummerSlam?
I thought it was a great show. In fact, I was very pleased to see it on my birthday, to have at least one good WWE show that I can come on here and speak very highly of.
It's a rare thing these days, but it does happen from time to time. Yes.
So first thing I want to mention is on the Sonya Deville situation.
Sure.
You know, I hope she's not gone too long because she has been a real bright spot for SmackDown the past few months. She's doing great work. She's really standing out. And I hope that the reports that these wrestlers are buying guns for their own protection is true, because... You know, I've seen shit people say on Twitter and social media who are fans who just act borderline psychotic. And, you know, these wrestlers, they're vulnerable. And they're most vulnerable in their own homes when you can get doxxed so easily today. And they're not making, you know, Hollywood money where they can afford their own private security to protect them. It's up to them.
Yeah, they have no choice. I mean, they have to take the precautions they have to take. You just can't have a situation like you had last weekend. I mean, that could have ended so badly. And you had two wrestlers, and it wasn't just her. It was her and Mandy in the home. And if they would have if they would have went upstairs instead of leaving the house, who knows if they'd be here right now, you know? I mean, the knife...
But I don't even want to think about it.
I don't even want to think about it either, so I agree. Hopefully, they'll do what they have to do to protect themselves. Anything else?
Yes. Well, on a lighter note, it's great to have Roman back because I think that he adds a lot to SmackDown, and SmackDown seems to have a lot going for it now for the next few months. Unfortunately, I can't say the same for Raw.
Well, not in the tag team division.
Even though they're getting Keith Lee and they've got the Thunderdome, I don't think that that's going to fix the show. And an idea that I've had for Raw lately has been, you know, what I'd like to see is, you know, that last hour of Raw is the worst hour to watch. And something that could help, I think, is what they could do maybe is replay old pay-per-view matches that are really, you know, historical, I guess you could say, well-known. Kind of like what they were doing before WrestleMania this year. And I know it's not new content, but, you know, WWE's kind of proven that they're not capable of providing a full 3 hours of a quality show in Raw every week.
Yeah, I mean, look,
so why not reel even these old matches?
Even though I agree, I'm sure contractually, I don't think the network is going to want them to be just showing old shit for an hour. So I don't think that's going to work. Look, I mean, you're talking to somebody who doesn't mind watching the old stuff. It's fine by me. I probably would just turn the show off. I get to check out early. And I'm sure USA Network is not going to want that. So it's a non-starter. I mean, look, the whole point of the third hour is USA wanted the third hour. And so Vince McMahon said, okay. So they're paying him however many millions, tens of millions of dollars a year for that extra hour of content every week. And they are expected to produce content. It's hard to do that every single week. That show does not need to be 3 hours. But they committed to it, and so they have no choice.
That's the thing, is it's been 8 years now that they've had that third hour. And the past couple years, that third hour has been a fucking cemetery of just...
Well, it's dropping every week.
Terrible.
It's dropping every week. I think last week it was down to 1.4 million or something, 1.4 and change. It's going to continue to go down, and at some point they're going to have to do something about it. I don't know what that's going to be. But yeah, look, we're all in agreement on that. Anything else before we move on here? I want to keep things moving along.
Yeah, just that, you know, with the NFL season coming up, there's really not much that they're going to be able to do for that third hour. That's why my idea, you know, that's why I had it. But nope, nothing else. Thank you very much, Jason. Have a good night.
Awesome. You too. I mean, it sounds so easy, and if it were me, I'd just cancel the whole damn hour. And, you know, or airing classic content. That sounds great, but I'm assuming they can't do that. You think about it. If USA Network is paying WWE, I've heard reports that it works out to something like $50 million a year for that extra hour. Do you think USA Network is going to be okay paying WWE $50 million or $30 million or $20 million for them to show the 1998 SummerSlam main event? I don't think that's going to work. So there's a reason why they don't do that, unfortunately. Jason Nightmare. Show is okay. How was your party in the hot tub last night with the girls in the bikinis? I assumed you outdid Damian Priest. Well, you know, gentleman never tells. That was off camera. We'll leave that there. I'll leave that up to your imagination. Carlos Saldana, pay back my $9.99, please. Ah, it was clever. That was clever. And Just Jared from Brooklyn, show is okay. Forgot about your hot tub party. Oh, yeah, we had the hot tub time machine going last night. It was a blast. 520.
Hey, what's up, Jason?
What's going on?
I was just wondering, what was your SummerSlam dinner?
My final meal? It's like my marching to my death here. I mean, I'll tell you what, my meal tonight was fantastic. It was kind of a mix of like grilled chicken and onions and vegetables and pasta. It was great. It was fantastic. It was better than the pay-per-view. Nice. Better than the pay-per-view.
Nice. I just wanted to comment on, CM Punk had the farewell tweet for Renee. Said Andy Dufresne, who crawled through a river of shit and came out clean on the other side. She left Shawshank.
Well, then she's got good taste, because Shawshank is a fantastic movie.
Absolutely.
It's true, too. It really is true. She seems unscathed. She did the announcing thing. She wasn't a robot android. I mean, she kind of had her own personality, and she came out of it, and she's going to do very well for herself. So it's true. She came out on the other end, and she's clean as a whistle.
Nice. I just wanted to say that, and hope you have a great night.
Thank you. You too. You've never seen it. Shawshank Redemption. Great movie, Shawshank Redemption. Let us take a look at these super chats. We had one or two more. We had one more. Chris with $5. How devalued is CM Punk? Hottest free agent to lose to losing quick in the UFC, debuting on Backstage, doing low ratings, and then canceled. And now trolling WWE on... Is he trolling WWE on Twitter? Should I check it out and see what CM Punk is tweeting? I've gotten a few messages about CM Punk. I go, why should I give a shit tonight about CM Punk? I mean, did he do something? Did he say something? Let's take a look at what CM Punk has been up to tonight. Let's see if CM Punk is trolling WWE. Apparently CM Punk has nothing better to do. Let's see. What did CM Punk say? All right, he posted, I see the meme. So I see the meme that he posted 4 hours ago. I don't see anything else here. There's still people who think that CM Punk is, he's got to come back. He's on his way back. I mean, it's been 6 years. it's like you kind of get to a point where it's like, I don't think he's coming back. I think he's had enough. Let's take a few more before we wrap up here. I don't want to go 3 hours like I did last night, but let's go to 919. You're on the air live.
Hey, what's going on, Justin?
What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Just kind of saw the end of the show. I didn't get to see Drew and Randy Orton. I heard it was kind of bad.
Nah, I mean, it was the finish was kind of bad. The match itself was actually, I thought, pretty good.
I was going to say, I think Roman, Braun, and The Fiend, what they did at the end was good. It left everybody questioning what's going to happen with Roman, what's going to happen with Braun and The Fiend. And I don't think anything bad came of The Fiend actually winning and getting attacked after it actually helped, because it just brought Roman back into the main event, which is why I don't think he's good retribution, because why would he be with them if he can just automatically come back and just be in the world title picture anytime he wants? What sense would it make for him to lead a faction like that?
Well, I mean, first of all, he's Roman Reigns. So, of course, he can just march on back and he can get a title shot if that's what he wants. The whole thing with Retribution, right, it's just an idea people are floating. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. It would be intriguing to hear what his explanation would be, because he's the company guy. So what sense does it make that he would link up or lead a group of people who are firebombing? I mean, think about what these guys have done. They booked these guys like little terrorists running around, firebombing things, attacking the production truck. It just is so unlike what Roman Reigns would do that it almost just doesn't even make any sense. They'd have to come up with a whopper of an explanation. And the closest thing that I could think of would be, he's almost been forgotten about. They haven't mentioned him at all these last several months, and so maybe he plays into that, but that's a reach. To me, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't make any sense that he would be leading somebody with a fucking chainsaw. I mean, what sense does that make?
I was also going to say that I think that Keith Lee should go to SmackDown with Roman Reigns and that Undisputed Era and Adam Cole should have debuted at the end of the Randy Orton Drew McIntyre match, similar to what they did with Drew when he won the title from Bobby Roode at TakeOver a few years ago. I thought they should have, because I think Keith Lee would fit perfect on SmackDown, and Undisputed Era would be perfect for Drew McIntyre, since he actually beat Randy Orton. It would make sense for a group like Undisputed Era to come in and be a new threat to Drew McIntyre.
And they could even feud with Randy Orton. Randy Orton's been talking a lot of shit about the NXT guys, so that would make sense too if they went to Monday Night Raw.
Right.
And don't forget.
And then on top of that, you got Rich.
But don't forget also, supposedly, and this was mentioned months ago, and we still haven't seen him yet, but Dominik Dijakovic was supposedly being called up to Monday Night Raw as well. So if he ends up on Raw, if that is still the plan, he and Keith Lee, they'll end up on the same brand again, and they got a history together. Maybe they can rekindle. The thing is, I've seen enough of those two in the ring. Like, I love watching them wrestle each other, but you got to put some distance for a while, I feel like, between them before you bring them back together again.
Which is exactly why I thought Keith Lee should go to SmackDown and Dijakovic could go to Raw, because he could fit in well right there in the U.S. title picture. Dijakovic could fit in well in the U.S. title picture, and he could have some great matches with Apollo. And I think that Keith Lee would be perfect on SmackDown, since how Vince likes big guys. You got Braun, The Fiend, Roman, Keith Lee. It would just be, Big E. It would just be a great fit for him over on SmackDown rather than on Raw.
Well, look, I'm just glad that they're bringing new faces to the main roster. I guess NXT's technically kind of main roster now. They're on USA. I keep saying main roster. Right. But they need new faces. I mean, that's the reality of it. You know, I said before this pay-per-view, if The Fiend wins, you still don't have a lot of options. Assuming that Jeff Hardy is...
And that's why...
Assuming that Jeff Hardy is going to continue to be occupied with AJ Styles, that takes Jeff out of the equation for a while. Matt Riddle is still screwing around with King Corbin. And Daniel Bryan, I don't know when he's coming back. Maybe he'll come back soon, too. And then, but we've seen Daniel Bryan in The Fiend, so you don't want to go back to that. You need new faces. And you got to pluck people out of NXT. That's what you got to do. And they need women, too. That SmackDown women's division is dying for some new talent.
And that's what I was going to ask you. I heard last night there was reports of, this is my last question, but I heard rumors of Cross being injured from last night. So if he was to be injured, who do you think Keith Lee should stay in NXT and try to regain the NXT title? Or do you think somebody else, they should do like some type of tournament for the title? Or how long is he going to be out?
We don't know.
And thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate the question. We are going to hopefully have more answers either tomorrow or Tuesday. He's going for an MRI, so we may not have answers. You know, publicly, they may not tell people what the outcome of that is. Maybe until Wednesday. Maybe they'll wait until NXT Wednesday night, and they'll update everybody at that point. I'm sure news is going to start to leak, though, in the next 24 to 48 hours. Until he goes and has the shoulder checked out, we just don't know. You know, it could be something where he's got to be out for a month. Then you don't have to worry about taking the title. Even 6 weeks, he's not going to be on television defending the championship. Your next takeover show is in October. So if it's a separated shoulder that isn't too bad, you don't have to take the title off of him. But if it's really bad or it's the extent of the damage is worse than they thought, something is torn, then you're going to have to strip him of the belt. I really hope that doesn't happen because I feel bad for him, but you know, to take the title off Keith Lee just to vacate the damn thing would be very shitty. We just had a bunch of qualifying matches for the North American title and that built to a ladder match. So they did not do a tournament. So if they wanted it, we haven't had a tournament since the Cruiserweight tournament, which was months ago. A tournament is always a great way to kill TV time. You've got a weekly show. A tournament makes the matches mean something. I'm in favor of doing a tournament. Hopefully it won't come to that, though. Hopefully it won't come to that. If it comes to that, we'll have a discussion about who makes sense to go over. Depends who's in the tournament. But, boy, that would really be shitty for Cross if he had to be out for a while. Old Flicks Joe with the $2. Join Dark Order. No. Dry chicken. A hot tub party with Solomonster with Jack Daniels, orange juice, and a little bit of the bubbly. Sounds good to me. Although I haven't had a drink in 3 months, but it's the only way you're going to lose weight. Quit drinking. Old Flicks Joe, have you seen the new Batman trailer? No, and I'm ashamed I never saw the Joker movie. I still haven't seen the damn Joker movie. Should I see it? Everyone told me I should see it. I have to go see it. I have to find it and go watch it. Domination Warrior, Cameron Grimes. It's time. It's Cameron Grimes time. Quintus Brown with the $20. Thank you for the 20 spot. Which match did you enjoy? Actually, I just got a notification that with all the calls that have come in tonight, they have replenished my... Because basically the service I use for the phone calls, you know, these are not like Skype. It's free. People do, or Discord. Although that might be an option in the future, but yeah, I pay for a service, and so I have it set automatically, where when the balance gets down to a certain amount, like if we get a lot of calls, if people are waiting on the phone for a long time, that costs money. And they'll send me an email saying, okay, we've automatically replenished your account for like $40 or whatever it is. And I think I've gotten 2 notifications so far tonight. That's probably like $100 right there. But it's all good. I love taking calls from you guys. Quintus says, which match did you enjoy more, Cole and McAfee or Dominic and Rollins? And did you see Pat McAfee, or do you see Pat McAfee signing a contract, part-time deal with WWE? Well, I mean, he has a deal with WWE because they were using him as an announcer and an analyst. If you mean as a talent, I think he would be a great, like, heel manager. who can bump. So he can do the physical stuff, but he's not coming in as a wrestler for more than maybe a match here and there, because why would he? You know what I mean? I mean, he's 30-something years old. He's got his own show. He's got his own thing going on. I just don't see it happening. Pro wrestling and video games with the $5. I thought SummerSlam was pretty good. Definitely better than Extreme Rules. I'm glad Asuka and Bray won and that Roman Reigns is back. All of a sudden, all the Roman Reigns fans are coming out. I thought there was all this Roman Reigns hate before. And we got a lot of Roman Reigns fans who are coming out, voicing their support for the big dog. So that's interesting. It's hard to gauge because we don't have live crowds. What kind of reaction he would get on TV this week? We don't know. You think he would be cheered? You think he would be booed? I think he'd be cheered. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. That is very, very true. 617, you are on the air.
Hey, Solomon Master.
Who am I talking to?
Arthur.
Hey, Arthur. Boston.
I thought the show overall was okay, but for SummerSlam, I thought it was very underwhelming. Like the Drew McIntyre match, I thought was very meh. I hated the Fiend match, the Fiend Embrace, because it's supposed to be False Count Anywhere, and Cole's like, "Hey, you're gonna cover your eyes because it's gonna be carnage." They didn't really do much at all. It's just kind of boring. The other matches though, I thought were really good. But the two main event matches, I thought, was pretty underwhelming.
Yeah, I could see, especially the finishes. I mean, the finishes were underwhelming. I mean, it's like I said before, the undercard stuff, the Rollins match and the Sasha match were, in my opinion, the two best matches on the show. And that was right in the middle of the card, and that lifted the score for me. But there was no match I gave less than 5 out of 10 to. And the most I would give is the 7.5 that I gave to the women's match. I wouldn't go higher than that on anything else, but I'm tough to please.
And also I would like to see Keith Lee versus Seth Rollins when Keith Lee comes eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see then Keith Lee versus Apollo Crews, and hopefully that turns Apollo Crews heel and he joins the Hurt Business. And then they can go after the tag team titles.
Well, you've got it all mapped out. You've given this more thought than they probably have.
And also I have Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre rematch, last man standing match with McIntyre.
Not another
and
one.
Then after that,
oh no,
I have.
Haven't we had enough Randy Orton last man standing matches this year?
I have Drew McIntyre winning, but then Otis cashing in on Drew McIntyre, turning him heel.
Otis is a heel, so on Raw, so he's switching brands to cash in?
Yes, he's switching brands to cash in.
But that means Mandy has to switch. Him up.
Yeah, both of them go.
But how does that work though? Like, they just walk on. I guess it doesn't matter because
it's
people.
It's true. WWE, man.
It's true.
Like,
it's true.
People go from show to show. Like what?
I'm giving them too much credit here. Weird. The rules don't matter in WWE. So, You're right. It doesn't matter.
So I have Otis cashing on Drew McIntyre, and have him kind of turn heel, but be manipulated by Mandy Rose.
I mean, I don't see that happening at all, but I mean, I guess that's possible. I mean, Mandy is a babyface. She's on the same page with Otis. I guess she could just get greedy and tell him, listen, this is your moment. This is what you got to do. And he'll do whatever she says. So I guess it could happen, but I would not put money on that. Put it that way. I would not put money on that happening.
I just think it'd be interesting. I like Mandy Rose better when she's mean. And so I think that would be really a really good character to like
okay.
have him and have like Otis be solely manipulated to the dark side by Mandy Rose.
Well, poor Tucker. Poor Tucker's left out in the cold if that happens.
I mean, I guess so, but I don't think he would do it. I was thinking Tucker.
I would imagine,
he wasn't doing much.
I would like to think, this is probably how the creative meeting goes. Somebody's like, excuse me, sir, what about Tucker? He's like, well, that's the way the wind blows. Yeah, fuck that guy.
I was thinking Tucker down to NXT, and he would be a single star in NXT.
Binging Eddie, dude.
And
poor
he can
guy.
Just help. I mean, that's how WWE does the attack teams anyway. They pick one guy, and the other guy just gets.
Well,
like,
I know, but you know, it would be kind of nice if they at least had something in mind for him to do. He's actually really good. Tucker is actually a pretty good big man.
No, that's why I'll send him down to NXT and have him do NXT matches.
All right, listen, we could talk creative ideas all day long. I want to move on here. Any final thoughts here before I let you go?
Okay. Other than that. I love the wrestling from last night. That was really, really good. Dominic seems to have a bright future, in my opinion.
Yeah, regardless of what his last name is, he's got something there. So I think, yeah, the Mysterio name can't hurt, just like with Charlotte, right? The Flair name doesn't hurt. But I think even without it, he's got talent. I think he's gonna go far, but we'll see. He's 23 years old. He's got a long way to go. MJF is, I think, the same age. And look at where MJF is. So some guys just, you know, they move along quicker than others. But I think Dominic is going to have a bright future. Listen, this was a good call. I thank you for the call. Any final comments?
No, I just want to say thank you. I've been a fan of yours for a long time. You're my favorite wrestling YouTuber.
Thank you.
And I appreciate everything you do for the fan base and your opinions.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
All right.
It's a lot of creative thought put in. I hope WWE is putting the same level of effort into the ideas that they come up with in this retribution stuff, right? I hope they have a big plan for retribution. In the end, they're building this up. This is the big angle of the summer, probably into the fall. Just like Nexus was 10 years ago. We all know what happened there. Maybe John Cena is leading Retribution. Talk about forgotten. John Cena is the forgotten one. He's got to remind everybody who he is. Put some respect on his name. Did I say that right? You got to respect John Cena. Let's see here. Shai Lu did not leave a message, but he did donate $100 here on the stream, and I will bow to Shai Lu, a man of few words, but that right there is some support. That fucking rules. Thank you, man. That's the third one of the stream. That means a lot to me. When I see stuff like that, I mean, look, even you know, $2 and $5, I mean, all this, you know, it's a good feeling, because it means that to me, when I see stuff like that, like the show actually is meaningful to people. Now, to me, I'm talking about wrestling. I'm talking about Raw. I'm talking about SummerSlam, AEW. And to get the kind of feedback I've gotten this week with all of the streams, it just validates everything I do. Deadpool James Herrera with the $10 and the emoji. Good to hear from James, one of my longtime listeners. Why don't we take two more? How about that? We'll wrap up with a couple more. I wish I could get to everybody, but I'm going to be streaming a lot more these next several days, so you can always try calling back in if I don't get you tonight. 415.
Hey, Jason. How you doing tonight? This is James from Daly City.
Hey, James. What's going on?
Nothing much. I thought SummerSlam was a pretty decent show. I'd probably give it a 7 out of 10. They're doing really good in terms of, like, improving the look of the Thunderdome. Like, you're right, the reactions were very seamless after the outcome of each match, which I really liked. Match of the night for me, personally, was Seth versus Dominic. You know, just because, you know, long-term story building, you know, couple of near falls, you know, that I thought Dominic might have, like, stole it. But, yeah, that was a pretty good match. Also, just one quick question. Do you think The Fiend and Roman are immediately going to go to Payback? Or do you think they're going to, like, stretch that out for a bit?
I think that would be crazy. That's a one-week build. I think I wouldn't do that. I think that's a match that you could do at the pay-per-view at the end of September. I would hold off on that. I would hold off on that. Look, maybe Braun wants his rematch. It could be Braun and Fiend one more time. That would be the fourth match. I have no interest in seeing that. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, think about it. That's SmackDown, right? SmackDown is on Friday. So that means that if they were going to do Roman Reigns and The Fiend, it would basically be they would have 2 days to announce the match, unless they announce it on Twitter, I guess, like they announce everything else these days. But they have one SmackDown show 2 days before Payback. That would be insane to blow that match on such short notice. So no, I would not do that.
I agree. No time to really probably build the feud. It would be really rushed, and it would just be evident if Roman were to win that he really is, you know, Vince's golden boy. Also, speaking of Roman, one more thing. I don't know if you follow Randy Orton on Instagram, but he posted a post of Brian Griffin with a fresh veneers on his teeth, clearly insulting Roman.
It was the first thing I noticed when they zoomed in on him and he was talking, you know, he's talking trash to The Fiend. I was like, the guy got veneers. I said, good for him. Good for him.
Yeah, no more gap tooth for him.
Well, that's right. That's like a... I think Yokozuna had something like that. Maybe it's like a Samoan thing. I don't know. There's nothing wrong with it.
Probably.
There's nothing wrong with it. He could. He makes enough money. He's successful enough. He should just be happy with who he is.
Exactly. Well, Jason, thank you. Hope you have a good night. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in. Randy Orton on social media is great because Randy Orton just doesn't give a shit. So on Instagram or Twitter, he'll talk to anybody. If you're in a different wrestling promotion, it doesn't matter. You know, he'll insult people. He'll talk about how much he makes in merch compared to this guy or that guy. He's just at that point in his life and his career. He's got the big contract. He knows he's not going anywhere. He knows he's not going to lose his job. I mean, the guy didn't lose his job when he was actually doing things where he should have lost his job back in his more youthful days. So he just kind of lives his life. He's got like 6 kids or something, you know, a beautiful wife, probably a big house, makes millions of dollars. He just says whatever's on his mind. There's a certain freedom in being able to do that. And Brian Marquez wants to know with the $1.99 super chat, what do you think is next for Undisputed Era? Probably Raw or SmackDown. Pick your poison. I think the caller before made a good point and I made the point on the podcast, actually. I think I made the point on the on 666 earlier today that there's a history there with Adam Cole debuting for NXT the night that Drew McIntyre won the championship and attacking him. So it would be unlike WWE, I think, to go back and acknowledge something in the past of NXT. But we know there's a history there, and that could work. That would be one way to spice up Monday Night Raw. Unless Undisputed Era is revealed as being part of Retribution. And we are going to call it a night with 6-5-1.
Is your favorite Solid Monster? How's it going?
It's going well. I've got you on the line, so of course, how could it go anything but good?
Right? Actually, I'll be honest. I saw a match from SummerSlam, and it was the Dominic match. It was pretty good. And I
only one match.
Like Dominic, of course. I'm not a WWE fan anymore. They suck now.
But you did watch one match though.
Of course. I was interested. I was curious to see how good the kicks go.
Okay. See, they lured him in. The whole that you'll never see it coming. It worked. They got you. They hooked you in. Hook, line, and sinker.
They did. Weird question. Have you ever seen a clip on YouTube of Mean Gene outtakes from like the 80s of like the wrestlers and them just fucking around?
Yeah, I've seen all of them. They're great. They're fantastic. Mean Gene, there's never been anybody like him. There never will be anybody like him again.
Yeah. since I don't really watch WWE anymore, why is Andrade in a tag team?
Because they don't have anything better for him to do, and his English is not great. So they don't trust him on promos. So they've stuck him with Angel Garza, who... Angel Garza, you put the rocket pack on his back, and he's going to have a... If they play their cards right, he can be a much bigger star than he is now. I mean, he's still, you know, still a young guy. But Andrade, look, he doesn't go out there and cut promos. He's got the broken English. I mean, I'm sure that works against him, you know? Unfortunately... That's probably how they look at it. It's one of the reasons why I think eventually when the old King Cuerno, Mr. Santos Escobar in NXT, as he has been dubbed, he speaks fluent English. He's a great wrestler. He'll do well, even though they've got him in that cruiserweight division right now. He's much better than that. He will be a big star on the main roster if they want him to be. Andrade is great. I loved Andrade's run in NXT. He had one of my all-time favorite NXT matches against Johnny Gargano. But unfortunately, they just don't know what to do with him, you know. And so this is their grand idea. Let's just shove him in a tag team.
Okay, and then I'll just do one last question. First off, shout out to my Central Jockasses and the WWE people because I don't really talk to them like that. Are you a fan of the band Jimmy Eat World?
I like one of their songs. The middle is an okay song. Otherwise, no.
Okay. No. Okay.
Why do you ask?
Well, just asking. I've been on a like binge of their music. They're pretty good. Like besides that one song.
You want music to binge on? I'll give you a suggestion. It's funny you bring this up.
Okay.
One of the things that I love. I'm a huge fan of. Well, I mean, I'm a huge fan of anything 80s, but retrowave, synthwave, I don't know how familiar you are with the genre. If you type in retrowave and synthwave on YouTube, you'll come up with a lot of really good stuff. I've been on a real big kick lately. And there is an artist called Pilot, P-Y-L-O-T. And it's very strange because he'll come out with new music every now and then. And there's a story behind it's like nobody knows a lot about who this guy is, really, right? He doesn't like reveal his identity. And the last few years, he'll come out with like a new piece of music. Each one is like a new chapter. And it's been a while since I read up on the story, but it's almost like this guy showed up a number of years ago, 5 years, whatever it was. And it's like he woke up and didn't know where he was or who he was. And each piece of music is almost like a new chapter. And he just had a new song come out called The Return. Look that song up. That'll give you a sense of the kind of music he comes out with. I love his music. Pilot, P-Y-L-O-T. But I'm like really big.
I got it right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really big into the whole retrowave synthwave. That's why when you watch the Dynamite streams on Wednesdays, I got the whole like synthwave intro and music. You're gonna see more of that on the channel in the weeks to come. I love that shit.
Badass. I love it.
It's like, I mean, it's got a great beat, but it just, for me, it just transports me back to like another time. It just sounds so 80s. It's just, you can't not think of the 80s when you hear music like that. But it's fucking badass. I love it. So anyway, you want a music recommendation? Look it up in Spotify or whatever. Retrowave, synthwave. Look up Dance with the Dead and I could go on for a while about that, but anyway.
I will. Usually, I call that music since I wasn't like born in the '80s. I call that the Stranger Things music since they, you know, kind of used it in that show.
Oh yeah, strange. I love that. I love that shit. I live for that stuff.
Right. Well, I'll let you go, and I'll see you Thursday night for the AEW stream.
Perfect. I will see you there, my friend.
Have a good night.
All right. You too. As he said, I will be live. Well, he doesn't watch WWE, so he won't be joining us for the NXT stream. But I will be here live on Monday, not Monday night. I will be live on, don't do that to me. I can't stomach 3 hours of Raw and then coming on to talk about it right after. It's bad enough I have to talk about it on the weekends. So I leave that up to all the other fine people who do shows. But on Wednesday night, I will be live after NXT. And I will be live again on Thursday night after AEW. Don't forget that AEW is preempted again this week. That's why they're going to be on a day late. The Saturday thing was just a one-time thing. They're not permanently on Saturdays now. And then again next Sunday, a week from tonight, probably at this very time, I'll be streaming yet again on YouTube talking about Payback, whatever the tagline for that show is going to be. Here are the Twitter poll results one last time. 75% thumbs up. 25% thumbs down. You can vote in that poll at Solomonster. And I think that that's everything, guys. This has been a great stream. I want to thank everybody for all of their support. You guys killed it tonight, especially those $100 bombs. We got three of them. That's a record for one stream. But everybody who supported and super chatted and called in, you guys are the best. I got the best fucking fans any show, anywhere. It's all of you. Even the guys who sometimes get nervous, and they're very weird in terms of asking questions because they get nervous. Look, it happens to the best of us. You don't got to be nervous about anything around here. So anyway, thank you again for all of your help and all of your support. And check out 666 on iTunes and Spotify and Pandora. It went up earlier today. If you dare, episode 666. 2.5 hours worth of audio if this 2.5 hours was not enough for you. And I'm going to see you guys back here again for NXT on Wednesday night. So until then, take care, be well, stay safe. And again, I will see you guys real soon for more live streaming here on the Solomonster Sounds of YouTube channel. Hit that thumbs up on your way out. Take care, guys.